The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and the Patriots are off on their bye. I hope they're enjoying it. I hope they're getting rest. I hope all the bumps and bruises are healing up, and they're using their time wisely, maybe doing a little film work on the Colts while they can over the weekend. That might help a little, get a little head start, because they can too. The Colts are off on their bye as well. So both teams are going to come in fresh for a week from Sunday in Indianapolis. Speaking of fresh, Paul.
Yeah. I think my mic is on. Oh. There we go. Speaking of fresh.
Yeah. What about what?
Oh. Eric and I are freshly into the studio.
Uh-oh.
Subway Fresh.
Oh, I
studio.
Get you.
The Subway Fresh studios.
Yeah, that's true. Eric is here. Paul's here. Andy's still
coming.
Doing his
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Well, we got sidetracked a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No socks?
People are mad at us. You know?
Oh, really?
Who's mad at us? No one.
No one? Oh, okay. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500. Kevin, did you get that email with the clip of the guy talking about the T.J. Ward hit? We should play that at some point, huh? It's kind of weird, this radio sports radio guy in Denver.
Yeah, you were telling me about it this morning. Bounty.
Saying that T.J. Ward was absolutely on purpose going for Gronk's knees.
A Denver station.
Denver station that he should have.
Was this the thing you tweeted out?
There yes.
was like a picture I saw.
I think it was the same thing. I think so.
I saw. Yeah, it was like a still frame of the
yeah
the Cleveland play.
Oh, that was different,
right?
Yeah, that was.
Oh,
different.
that was not the same thing.
No. This is different.
Talking about the last game.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
that's just stupid. Some Denver guy believes that he should have done that. He should have tried to take his knee out.
Oh, he was defending him?
No,
oh, no,
no.
Oh,
he was ripping T.J. Ward.
Oh, okay.
No,
but, wait, because you said he was saying
there was a Denver radio guy that said that T.J. Ward had a bounty on his knee. Is this not the same thing that we're talking about?
Oh, no. What I heard was this is maybe another Denver radio.
Okay.
But this guy was saying, you know, I hear a lot of people are complaining that they think T.J. Ward was going for his knee. He absolutely was, and he should.
Yeah.
That's what I just said.
Right.
That's pretty much what I just said.
I didn't hear the word bounty, though.
Fred, do you want to listen to a little bit?
Yeah, let's listen to it right off the top of the show.
If you are any team playing the Patriots, if you legitimately want a chance to slow down this offense, you better hope he's not in there. You better hope that for whatever reason, he's not able to play because he is that unstoppable. And if you don't think that other teams realize that and realize how much easier their job gets if he's out of the game, then you didn't watch T.J. Ward knee hunting yesterday on that first catch.
Is that dirty, by the way?
Yes, it was dirty. I thought it was dirty. And you saw what he did last year. And the effect that it had on the Patriots after Gronkowski went out. Don't think for you're being naive if you don't think that in his mind he's like, hey, if I take this guy out, like I did last year, it changes everything.
Well, of course. Oh,
my point is that Gronkowski catches a pass. T.J. Ward did not at that moment think of himself as simply a safety coming up to make a play. At that point, he's like, I'm going after the knee. And I don't blame him for it. I mean, it makes that big of a difference.
Home field is much more important to the Broncos in the playoffs than it is to the Patriots or any other team you just mentioned.
Really?
Fair?
Patriots, you don't think the Patriots, Nate, looked like two completely different teams last year, with the one in New England and the one that came out here for the AFC Championship team?
Did the one that came out here have Gronkowski?
No, they weren't fully staffed.
There you go.
Here.
How long does this go for?
Well, wait, did they have Gronkowski for the game last year?
We got the gist of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's ludicrous. I also think their point about the home field is ludicrous, too. I mean, the Patriots haven't – when was the last time the Patriots even lost at home?
Right.
I mean, they go 4-4 on the road often, right?
Usually
8-0 at home, 4-4 on the road, 12-4. That's the Patriots' formula. Right. So to say that they don't need home field as much as anybody else.
Both teams love home field.
Huge advantage for both teams being at home. But to suggest that he should be going for it.
Right. That's crazy.
Ridiculous. No. Yeah.
It's ridiculously irresponsible.
Yeah.
Is. He's entitled to his opinion. We have whacked out opinions too. A lot of our listeners believe that T.J. Ward was trying to take his knee out. I don't.
If that line of thinking, then if you're playing Aaron Rodgers, take him out. Take the penalty. Get him out of the game.
I mean, what
you're playing, if you're playing the Seahawks, go after Russell. You know,
right. I mean, Tom Brady has a torn ACL. Why wouldn't you just go after his knee?
So the league would be the worst league in the world if that was the case.
Did this guy completely forget about the whole Greg Williams thing with the Saints a couple of years ago?
Well, that's to me, that's a little different. That's why I was a little confused.
Well, that's what he's talking about.
That's what
they should do. That's what he said. They should do it.
He's saying that
they should be going
after
people's knees.
But paying a guy to do it is a little different.
Yeah. Well, the
principle
is the same. You're trying to hurt a person.
Right.
That's the thing that's wrong is trying to hurt the person.
Right, right. Yep. So I don't know where they're coming from. That's crazy. That's crazy talk.
It is.
Yeah.
Listen, like I said, he's entitled to his opinion. I have a lot of opinions that are I think unconventional about certain things. And
but if that line
I think it's silly.
Paul, there's unconventional and there's unethical.
Yeah. If that
line but that's what he thinks. That's what he thinks.
If that
I can't
line
tell
of
him what to
was,
think.
If that line of thinking was prevalent in the NFL, we'd see this every week then, because it's so easy to go after a guy, especially a quarterback, and just take him out.
Well,
and take your 15-yard penalty, gets fined. You know, my teammates
will
pay
give
the
you
fine
a still
for
shot.
Me. And that would happen every game if that was prevalent thinking.
I would give you a still of virtually every tackle in the game and say that's a dirty hit, based on that being a dirty hit that T.J. Ward did. Right. Knee hunting, I think, is the phrase that he used, knee hunting. If you don't think he was knee hunting,
I mean, guys,
I don't. I don't think you've
heard me rail against the tackling technique in this league, or the lack thereof, for years. And it comes down to kind of what T.J. Ward did, throwing a shoulder at a guy's legs.
Right.
You don't tackle with shoulders. You tackle with arms. And that's what guys
not
don't
if you're
do
giving
anymore.
Away 100 pounds.
You wrap up with arms. You hit with the shoulder. But, I mean, there's nothing more effective than if you're a ball carrier and you have the ball and your line of sight.
Are we going to get to hear this again?
No, but your line of sight is the guy. And then all of a sudden he dips down. It's hard to avoid that it's a very effective way of tackling. I'm sorry.
But you can also look really bad.
Sure, if you miss.
When you put your head down, you are exposing yourself to missed tackles as well.
Oh, yeah. If you miss, you'll look like a fool.
And if the ball carrier times it well, knows that it's coming, he jumps right over it.
And you've seen more of that, I think, in recent years. More hurdling, more jumping, of those types of things.
Yeah. So anyway, we
did. I need to see a replay.
We
just played it.
This Denver radio guy saying that T.J. Ward should be going after his knees. You need to take Gronkowski out of the game.
He also said it was – he said it was dirty.
It was ridiculous.
He said it was a dirty
was
play
dirty,
and he should
do it.
But he said he should do it.
We've met the Fred Kirsch of Denver.
Well, I was saying if that was how players thought, you'd see this every week where if you're playing Tom Brady, just take him out in the first quarter.
Yeah,
you know?
I told you, of the 1,800 players, I think very few try to hurt
I do
guy.
Too.
Take him out. You might hear a guy say take him out. You take him out of the game. Like, hit him. You know,
yeah. I think
the Patriots
the
took
hit.
Manning out of the game a little bit, you know, by getting in his head and take guys out how
about
you can.
How about a phrase that originated right here in New England? Punch him in the mouth.
He doesn't really mean punch him in the mouth.
He doesn't really
right,
mean take him out of the game.
It means hurt
hit
your hand on their face mask.
No, it means hit them so they don't want to play anymore.
It's a figurative
which
way
is what
speaking.
I actually
but that's
going
what
back,
take him out means.
Right. Without getting too far into the whole Bounty Gate thing, I actually thought kill the head and the rest
the body.
Die, the body. I don't think he meant take the head off, head injuries. I think he meant if you kill the head of the
leader,
beast. If you kill Brady, you kill the head, the rest will follow.
Right.
Like, you're done. You've done it. So But the T.J. Ward thing, maybe I need to watch a replay. Did he use the crown of his helmet on his knee?
I don't think he. I don't think.
Well, I thought so he might have, but I mean, I think. You're calling it spearing?
No, I'm not. But I didn't even think it was that.
Yeah, it might have been.
Think when you put your head down, as you said, you kind of lose the ability to
perfectly
guide your head to where it needs to be.
Right. Perfectly. Yes. I agree. See
perfunctory.
What I mean? See, we say stupid things too. Yeah. I just thought it was a silly take that the guy from Denver had, and Kevin just played the clip. Just to say, okay, if you have the opinion that he was trying to take his knee out, that's fine. I disagree with you, but that's fine. But to go on and say that's what he should be doing, we've seen what the Patriots' offense is with and without Rob Gronkowski. As Fred points out accurately, what would these NFL games look like if you went into every game and that was your mindset?
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, we got to take Aaron Rodgers out. We see what Green Bay did last year when Rodgers was out all those games. They couldn't move the ball. They couldn't score points. We got to take him out.
You remember the guy?
Let's see if we can hurt his shoulder again.
I forgot his name, but it was a defensive lineman for the Packers back in the late 80s.
I'm out.
And he used to have remember for a few games he had, like, you know, the guys used to wear towels a lot back then, and he would write the names of the towels down.
Now the rest of the show. And there was exactly a game. Who you're talking about. He's the guy that picked up Jim McMahon.
Oh, I'm back in. I remember that.
Picked up Jim McMahon and threw him to the ground and, like, injured McMahon's shoulder and took him out of the game. But he had a hit list on his towel every game.
Oh, and we're not saying that stuff doesn't happen, but it's not as much as.
No, but I mean,
that was before the politically correct days.
Right.
Yeah. But that's what
the
league would
be
like.
I can't think of that guy's name. It's going to bother me. Strippers.
And by the way, once you do that, too, like, now I think you're actually crossing over into legal. Like, what if Jim McMahon died? He hit his head on the turf when he threw him. Now you kind of premeditatedly murdered
him. Right.
There's no place for that. And I don't think there's a lot of that. I think take him out. You know, Aqib Talib took out Jimmy Graham last year. He took him out. He got physical with him. He didn't want to play that style game. He kind of took him out of the game. He didn't hurt him. He didn't, like, rip his head off or do anything.
And that's what
illegal.
Someone needs to do to Gronkowski. They need to get
I got to tell you, I really think my way is the way you do it. I think you got to swallow your pride, flop a little bit, get some early offensive pass interference calls, and try to cut Gronk off at the knees, kind of make him panic. Oh, no, I can't do what I usually do. What am I going to do? That's what I think you need to do. And nobody wants to do that. I wouldn't want to do that. If you're like James Harrison and they're like, you got to bang Gronk and take a dive here. I'm not taking a dive. Excuse me, dive.
She's all right.
She's swallowed my tongue. I am wound up.
He missed 5 minutes.
What are you wound up about?
Up for?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Oh, something.
Yeah. Something. He's right. Something.
All right. What else we got? The team's off. They're gone.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Indy 500. Yeah.
Guys were rolling their things through the locker room.
Yeah.
Cameron Fleming and guys just coming through with bags. They were on the out.
Yeah.
There are a lot of cars out there. They even do that sometimes.
I don't know. I
where they get picked up here and just leave the car in the parking lot.
Hey, you know what? Don't drive.
Costanza.
If I could make sure that no one was behind a wheel, I would do that.
Plus, better than that, you avoid paying, you know, $35 a day at Logan or something if you drive to the airport.
Sure.
Just keep it at Gillette.
Yeah.
Because no one's driving. I mean, a lot of them are going to far places.
Oh, yeah. They're on a plane.
Islands and beaches and who knows.
Like, a lot of the young guys will go back to their college and take in a game.
Right.
You know, that kind of deal.
Big man on campus.
Some of the veterans with some significant.
You do it at your high school. I mean, I can only imagine what they do.
And yet I've never gotten a lady out of it.
Some of the
nor should you in high school at the
real,
same
real vacation.
Some of them are 18, right? Seniors are 18, right?
Unbelievable.
All right. I did have another topic, but I forgot what it was.
Patriots related?
Yeah, I forget what it, I forget. All right, anyway.
7-2.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's get right into the phones and emails.
Are they going to run the table?
No, I think they'll lose one more game.
Where?
Don't know.
Just one?
I just predicted 13-3, so I think they'll lose one more game.
You're so annoying. Do you think that, like,
legitimately?
So you're only sticking to that?
Yeah, I think it's also reasonable to think that they will lose another game.
I do, too. I wish you had said that and brought some reason to it other than I picked 13-3 and I want to be right.
Well, I do, but that's true also.
So, because the Lions aren't what we thought they
could be. Don't you think the odds are that they're going to lose a game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who? But not just because of the odds.
I think
who?
It could be any of these teams, really.
Green Bay.
I think they're all losable.
Yeah, Green
Bay. You asked me for a game, I gave you
three
a game.
Of the
they're
next
not
four.
All losable.
Three of the next four are losable. At the Colts, Sunday night is losable.
Yes.
At Green Bay
is losable.
Is losable. At San Diego, even though they're kind of
less losable, playing, but still
less losable.
Losable,
I agree. But still losable.
You don't think Miami could beat them?
Miami could certainly beat them.
I'll put Miami in the losable category.
The Lions could.
No, I don't think the Lions
them?
Could
yeah,
beat
but,
them.
Yeah, but a lot less so than
yeah,
before.
Yeah, sure.
No,
sure.
I think less no. I think like less than 5%.
But if you're not
why
a
do we
top
think less of the Lions?
I just they're not playing yeah, very
they're
not, well. They're
you
still
know what
banged
they do to
up. I don't even know who's going
to
be out there.
I don't think the Lions were never in the losable category until the Kansas City game. You know, that Kansas City game sort of opened up everybody, and everybody's in play now. I think the Lions are like, didn't they get coming off a bye in that big win that they had in the 21-0 comeback?
I just know that
like, what
every,
do they do?
Every factor that I would pick, because I'm big, that I think to beat the Patriots, it helps to have a running back, a receiver, a tight end, kind of challenge the defense in different ways. And on paper,
they have all that, yeah.
But on paper, those guys have barely been out there all year together.
Man.
So unless they're out there making plays together, and Stafford hasn't played all that well this year.
Oh, speaking of the Lions, did you want to talk about the London games?
London games next year have been announced.
Oh, what are they?
Not the Patriots.
Three AFC East teams, though, and not one of them is the Patriots.
Yeah.
Jets and Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Bills and Jaguars.
That's a Dolphins home game, right? I believe Jets at Dolphins.
I think so.
In London.
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs.
And then Chiefs.
And Lions?
And Lions.
Yeah.
That's what made me think of it. Yeah. It was the Lions thing. But
they're making the Lions go 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
So
who's giving up that home game? The Lions?
No, it's a Chiefs home game.
Chiefs giving up a
ooh,
home
that's
game.
Really big.
That is big. I'd be pissed if I were a Chiefs fan. We got the best home field
I'd be
in
excited
football.
If I were a Lions fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got a much better shot of beating him in London than you do in Arrowhead.
And was it accurate? The
I am kind of surprised, though. Three games, and Patriots aren't one of them.
I know.
A little bit
surprised. I thought there was a report that there were five games.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they said, you can go for the third time, but you've got
to give
up
a home
game.
Yeah.
You can't do this three times and not have a home game.
Well, did you see there was a report?
Whose home game was it this year for Detroit? I'm sorry, Andy. Detroit, Atlanta.
Well, Detroit had the end zone. But I thought it was an Atlanta home game.
I thought it was, too. So they gave them two home. You know, same as the Patriots. They got two road games.
Is it accurate they're telling people if you want to host a Super Bowl, you have to go to London?
That's what Jerry Jones said.
That's in the proposal. And Jerry Jones said, I don't care. I'm not going to London, and I'm putting in a proposal in.
But he is going to London.
That was the rest of that story.
He's bleeping awesome.
They're going this week, though, aren't they?
They are this week.
Yeah, this is for the future. Yeah. It was a home game. I think you had to give up a
home
game.
Yeah, a home game.
That's what I meant.
He's not giving up a home game.
Right.
And he did put in a proposal to host the Super Bowl.
Did he just, like, cross that line out?
Yeah, I'm not reading that memo.
Well, it's one of those things. You can turn my proposal down based on not meeting the criteria, but I'm still going to
And you cannot have a Super Bowl in the nicest stadium in the NFL.
Right.
How long do you think that scoreboard's going to, the big video board's going to be, like, it's still ridiculous. It's, what, we 4 years in or five years in?
Yeah.
How long does that go where that's still ridiculous? Like, it still hasn't been matched.
You know, until somebody
tops it.
Yeah, how can you? It goes 60 yards.
But everything is topical. You can always go bigger and better clearer and
but
brighter.
There's also a finite amount of space in a stadium.
Nope. You make the roof higher. Make the roof twice as high so you can have twice as big a screen. Can't come down much lower because
that's
what
I'm saying. You can't go low. Right.
But you can go higher. You can go wider. Why stop at the 20? Is it going to go to the 20 or the 20?
Something like that, yeah.
100 yards. 110.
Well.
You can always go bigger and better, Eric.
I think the next thing is a stadium that will have, like JetBlue, video screens at their seat, electrical outlet at your seat so you can charge your phone.
I don't like that idea.
You don't like that?
You think this crowd's quiet sometimes now. Now you give people a reason to just like sit and look down at their seat?
Yeah.
Ugh.
But I think I call them smart seats. They're heated. You got an electrical outlet. You got a little video screen.
He just went all Gruden on us. I call them smart seats.
This seat.
You call them that or the people proposing that?
No, that's what I'm calling them.
Oh, okay.
Smart seats.
Have you
I like it better than
trademarked
you.
Trademarked
it? And,
I haven't trademarked
have you
it.
Now someone will come up with
Robert,
that.
Or?
It's just right now it's hard.
Right?
Because you'd have the infrastructure.
One of the quarter of a million people listening is
going to. No, you see where this is going. And then he's going
right,
to son of a.
Right.
I had that idea.
At least we have him on tape saying it, though.
See, so there's different ways to
show some of his other ones.
Unlike 1978.
So right. In order to do this, you have to bring electricity to each seat. You know, so obviously you could have all this wires underneath. The other way I was thinking is that you would have a room where you would store all these batteries. And someone basically basically you don't have to have your smart seat activated, but if you want it, you pay an amount per season. And just before each game, somebody that works here puts in a fresh battery, and after the game, they take it out and recharge it for the next
game. What about solar panels?
Well, you could charge the batteries via solar panels.
I don't know
panels.
If you could get a big enough solar charge? Panel that would charge really? All that. You know?
Nah, no. Solar yeah. sucks right now.
Yeah. But so, you know, there's different ways to do it, but it
Did
would
you
be
say
expensive.
Heated?
Be very, yeah, heated, too.
That would be nice. Yeah. I'd rather have that than the TV.
Yeah.
I like a warm bum.
So, anyway, that's just my idea.
When your butt gets cold, you know you're cold.
This whole idea is yours?
Like your cheeks.
Well, I'm sure other people have thought of seats with screens in them and stuff.
My guess is there's a stadium with them somewhere.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, it's
I
hard.
Thought the whole it was
indoors
just a smart
is more
seat.
Likely, but outdoors it's tough because the screen itself would have to be weatherproofed and
Did you see this?
You know, how do you service it? You know, I'm sitting at my seat, my screen doesn't work. Who do I call to get it fixed? You know,
what if
pissed.
I smash it?
Right.
You what know, you say you piss?
I'm pissed if oh. if I'm at my seat and something doesn't work.
And it's all fun. Like, I'd be worried about people breaking them. And,
yes,
like,
exactly.
A bad game. You know, not here maybe now, but when you go down the road of bags on your head.
Oh, yeah.
People doing
I mean,
stuff.
Here in this stadium, they're constantly fixing seats that get ripped
That's
out
true.
And arms.
Oh, every game.
Yeah.
I assumed that was a weight issue.
Now, every game, when I go up.
I see a lot of big
see
people.
Some of the fans, right?
I see big people.
Because early in the week, we shoot the TV show. And when I go up into the luxury suite where we do one of the hits from, there are, I would say, maybe somewhere between 10 and 20 scattered around the stadium. Maybe more.
Yeah.
When you
oh,
can
more
see,
than
you
that,
can
I
see
think.
Seats that are in need of repair.
It's
after every home game.
I mean, these stadiums take a beating. They really do. I mean, it doesn't take long for a stadium to look aged.
What's the Florio thing on that?
20 years, right?
20 years.
Is the expected
15 to 20 years
that's
expected
life.
Lifetime.
That's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. You could build something for $1 billion and say 20 years.
20
I need
years
to
from now,
it.
I'm going to have to do it again for probably, what, five times that.
Right.
Well, what about Arrowhead? Arrowhead's been around since 1970
yeah,
or whatever.
A lot of renovations, though.
But they yeah. have put a good amount of money.
But they haven't
Well, Lambeau's the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those are the stadiums that... They haven't built a new one, but they've put the amount of
oh,
money
yeah.
that it takes to build a new one into refurbishing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Have they done it in that time frame? Every 15 to 20 years?
Probably not. I think this is a new thing.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the more you have stuff.
Technology.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but, yeah, just.
Expectations from the fans
right.
you have to keep up
in
with.
In the old days, if you had a metal bench, it was called a stadium. Like, right. so you didn't even need metal. You, yeah. you had concrete at, like, Harvard and those
right.
places.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all you needed. Something that was shaped like a seat. That's
yeah.
a seat.
I think
a Coliseum, literally.
Right.
I think it's only a matter of time. If the Patriots stay in Foxborough.
Ooh, so
excuse
ooh.
Me?
Ooh.
Excuse me?
Oh, I don't rule anything out.
Kevin, where's the breaking news bulletin?
Now, are we going to roll up Patriot Place and take
what?
That
in 20 years? In 20
it's like we're kind of tied to that.
Don't you think it's within reason 20 years it. From now that they could move into Boston? You know,
I wouldn't rule it out, but
yeah,
the way you
it
said
out.
It, it was
I'm
a little
I'm just saying, if they stay long
pressing.
Enough in Foxborough, I think eventually we'll see a roof.
I hope
some
so.
Type of sliding roof that goes over. They'll build
over this or
over
this. A new one?
No, over this one.
I'd rather see it.
You know, they'll put some arches up where it can slide, and the arches will
Yeah, I don't think it would make much
stadium.
Sense to put it over this.
Yeah, yeah.
Why
I think
not?
You would because you'd
not
be
nice
retro
enough.
And well, and you're retrofitting.
Yeah.
Retrofitting is never as good. Never.
No.
So you build a new stadium that's retractable.
Yeah.
Where yeah. would you put it though?
I
Boston.
Don't know. Over there.
No, Fred's right about that. I think that's
yeah,
probably
what about
where
Patriot
going.
Place? It becomes just
yeah.
place.
Yeah,
you sell it. I don't know. I never rule anything out when it comes to stadiums.
No,
and
I would
teams
agree.
Moving around and
the draw of a city and that kind of thing.
Right,
but could have bought the. I saw they're finalizing the Globe building is being sold
on Morrissey Boulevard. Yeah,
oh yeah,
that. Yeah. That's been in the works for a while, actually.
Yeah, could have put that. Put a stadium right there. Is that big enough? Right on the highway there.
I don't know if that's big enough.
I don't know.
I don't think there's enough surrounding land.
Okay, yeah.
Plus, with so close to the water, would there be like a foundational issue?
I don't
nah.
know.
With a water table?
I don't know. Christian?
I mean, he would be a good person to ask, I guess.
All right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. People are getting ready to talk Patriots, so let's let him do that. Trey's in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good.
What's up?
All right, man. You know, everybody's been, you know, giving their nitpicks on the team and et cetera, man. I want to call out a lot of our fans, man. Throughout the year, man, there's been a lot of complaining going on about the personnel moves. A lot of guys are complaining about, you know, the receivers and, you know, the defensive backs, the offensive line. the defensive line man, look, you know, stop complaining about Danny Amendola. Okay, he's contributing now. Early on in the season, he wasn't getting the chance to. Stop complaining about Brandon LaFell. You know, he's making plays now. Of course, he's not a superstar, but hey, he's become a guy that Brady is kind of depending on and trusting. You know, it's time for people to make calls about something else. You know, they want to call about the defensive line. It's constantly, every week, you know, they're talking. It's the same old song, man. We're not getting the pass rush. We're not getting the pass rush. Look, people, we don't have a Von Miller. We damn sure don't have a J.J. Watt. Okay, we have one defensive end that's average. We have a defensive end that's a little bit above average. Okay, between those guys, you may get 15 to 17 sacks together. All right, so just deal with it. All right, stop complaining about the offensive line. If you know anything about sports, you know whenever something is new, you know it takes some time, you know, for everything to gel, okay? Stop talking about Brandon Brown. I mean, hey, I love his aggression. It's good to see that we got somebody that's not afraid to put his hands on somebody. He's not afraid to, you know, to get in their face.
Right.
So stop calling about this.
No, I mean, yeah, for years we've been saying they need to get more aggressive, so they are. So what should we be talking about, Trey? What do you want to talk about?
What we need to be talking about, guys, and I'm gone.
Okay.
We got the best already? Quarterback in the world, in the NFL. We got the best damn tight end that's unstoppable. You can run through his knee. It's about the best chance you got. We got the best damn nose tackle. We got the best damn coach. We got the best damn owner. We got the best damn team for everybody to get over. We got the best damn sports talk show in all the nation, in PFW. I love you guys. Let's roll, Arizona. Here we come to get out.
I'm ready.
Super Bowl.
I'm running through a wall with you, and Trey. I'm running through the wall with you. Good call. All right.
Just glad he met us.
I love it.
Best radio show.
I love it. Best damn whatever. Fill in the blank. I love it.
Basically talk about what you have and not what you don't have.
Right.
Enjoy what you have. And that's I think the bye week is a good time for that. You know, we're going to post something on the website later. PFW's
lighter.
Fred gave me that look. So
unbelievable how fast there was boob on TV and he just completely lost track.
But did you see my skills? I knew by his face that there were boob on TV behind me.
There were boob. No, there's a boob on this show too. He's right across from me.
There's four boobs on this show. There's three that know their boobs and Eric.
Wow. Let's go to Eric in New Jersey. Speaking of Eric, hey, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
Are you going to yell at us, too?
Definitely say shout-out to the best damn sports radio show. We'll touch on the guy from Memphis. But I got a couple questions, you know, if we get some answers to them. Now, I want to talk about the usage or maybe the lack there usage of Tim Wright. Definitely thought he came out that opening that game against the Bengals. Definitely felt like he opened up, did some good things. So I'm not understanding why he's not getting out there. We're not utilizing the double tight ends with him more or less. It's being with Hooman being out there on those.
Look, he's been out there. It's not like he's sitting on the bench, but I can't complain about the offense right now.
You know, people aren't happy scoring 40 points a game. Yeah, they want 50.
I mean, I want Tom. I'm like you. I want Tim Wright involved, but I can't complain with what they're doing. And the fact that Hooman got a pass, Devlin got
one
a pass,
pass.
I think that's good because it puts it on tape. And, you know, it's just one more thing for the other team to say, oh, they threw to Hooman. So when he's on the field, they might throw to Hooman.
He has a different opinion of those things than I do. If I was the opposing defense, I'd say, good. Let's not cover it again next week. Maybe they'll keep throwing it.
But that's whatever they
decide
to do. Talking
about Hooman, not Devlin.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, Wright will get his chances. I guarantee you.
He's been catching touchdowns.
Yeah, he's gonna catch some
balls. It's not like he's been invisible.
Yeah, but I find it hard to complain right now about the offense.
And that's why they're called complimentary.
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I definitely feel he could be an asset, but with being only on the field for 12 plays against the Broncos, I definitely feel there's gonna be a game. At some point in the season, they're not foreshadowing looking at the playoffs, but there's gonna be a game where Gronk where they're just going to put two or three guys on Gronk, and it's going to fall on somebody else's shoulders.
Absolutely. I think the beginning of the Denver game, you saw that. I think, you know, right away, it wasn't Gronk. It was LaFell, and it was other guys. And you pick your poison. That's what you want. But until all these other guys go away, Wright might kind of be a complimentary player.
That's all he should be.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's what he is.
Yeah, that's all he should be.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Eric.
I'm happy. Like I said, I definitely think he adds another layer. I think Amendola's starting to come around. I don't ever think he'll be the guy worth his contract. I think we're past that at this point. But listen, I definitely just thought like Tim Wright is definitely. I don't think he's Hernandez level. Some people just jumped out the bridge to. I definitely think there's some things he still needs to work on his game. But I definitely think he plays well. But to touch on my next subject real quick before I get cut off of the Colts game. I don't see the Colts as a team that can really challenge us to. I think running quarterbacks, we kind of always had that little wrinkle against us where they can create plays on us, but I don't feel, I'm not threatened as to the Colts as, I mean, I just remember 2 weeks ago, the Steelers were just put a mud hole through them, and I feel like the way our defense, you get Belichick 2 weeks prep, I don't feel as if this is a game we should necessarily worry about as some are alluding to. What's your guys' take on that?
I understand that. I think
I'm worried
things have really changed, you know, when you're with the outlook with the Colts. I think, you know, a few weeks ago, you might be a little bit more worried about the Colts than you are now because the defense is playing good enough to where, you know, you'll hold the Colts into the 20s and you'll be able to score in the 30s easily.
Well, if you score like you did against Denver, then I think you can hold Indy down to 20. If you don't, then I don't think you're holding them down to 20.
But you also
I think Denver would have been in the mid-30s if the Patriots didn't have 43 the other day.
They had to keep
going for it on fourth down, and they weren't kicking field goals.
I know, but that's part of it. Are you afraid of the Colts' defense stopping the Patriots?
Not at all.
That's part of it. That's it.
But I don't think that the Colts will score 20s. I think the Colts will be in the 30s.
Unless you get turnovers like the Patriots have been doing on defense, then I think Paul's right. The Colts are going to score points.
Well, we'll see.
The Broncos would have scored points if it weren't for
I think if they had turnovers. If they had kicked four field goals instead of gone 0-for-4 on fourth down, now it's 33 points instead of 21, and you're not looking at it the same. The offense, having 43 on the board, took the kicking game out of the game for Denver. Changes the whole thing.
Well, who do you match up on? Who do you match up on defense? I'm assuming we're going to put Revis a lot on T.Y. Hilton, as he seems to be there. See the guy that just seems the guy like the guy that stretched the field. When I look at the Colts offense, the running game is, I would say, no better or at the same level compared to us right now.
Yeah, they have no running game right now at this juncture.
I don't think they're going to scare you running the ball. More Luck scares me more as opposed to anybody they have running the ball.
Yeah, I mean that's an X factor. I mean, whereas the Broncos had more weapons and it tougher to match up, you didn't have to worry about Manning running. Here, you know, they have some weapons, maybe not, but you do have to worry about Luck extending a play or running for a first down when everything breaks down.
And he's a good quarterback.
That is a factor you didn't have to worry about with Denver.
And he's a good quarterback. He can throw against you.
Yeah, that goes without saying. Yeah.
He does throw some bad. And there's always still that time. I mean, granted, this is his third year in the league, but he's still having those throws that you look at the guy like, yeah, what are you doing? I mean, I get it. He's the second coming. You know what I mean? He's the second coming of, you know what I mean, Peyton Manning, or, you know what I mean, throw the quarterback's name under there. But he still makes those bonehead throws that you look at the guy and you're like, come on. I mean,
see, he's the perfect example of the guy. I always tell you that interceptions don't bother me. He's the perfect example. When you make plays and you make as many plays as he does, you're going to throw interceptions.
Even at Stanford. He'd throw a bad interception. He'd come right back and
he throws interceptions
drive.
A lot.
Yeah, and they don't bother him. And he put in his production is incredible.
Yeah.
I think he's right. I think Eric is right. I think he will throw a pick or two, and he does do that. But you know, the reason why I think the Patriots will win the game is because the Colts stink on defense, not because I think the Patriots will shut down the Colts offense.
Chris from Hamilton asks a good question. He says, "Can New England afford to lose one game? Is there a game that Denver might lose?"
Yes.
Yeah.
Denver has a few tough games, but not many.
Yeah. They
have to go to San Diego and go to Kansas City.
The decline of Manning
in Cincinnati,
has started.
And I think they play Cincinnati too. Yes.
You said that was going to be the entire season.
Wow. No, I didn't.
430 yards.
This
decline
year.
Is here.
I was going to say.
This year.
438 yards decline.
Yep. The decline, I mean, they're probably going to.
What was that, Chris?
They're probably going to pile up 70 points against the Raiders this week just because. But you'll see. You'll see. By the end of the year, Broncos will have some bad losses.
Do you know he's on pace for like 49 touchdowns?
That's good for him.
I'm just saying, like the decline. I'm talking about your decline.
To be fair, that's a decline.
Yeah, from last year.
Right? Yeah, 55, 56.
Numbers are down.
He's down a couple percentage points.
That's right.
We never answered the question. I think I would match up this week. I think I would match up Revis with Hilton and Browner with Wayne. Because Wayne
is
not what he was.
Right, yeah.
I still am scared of it because he's a savvy veteran receiver. Now, they don't still do the left-right thing, right, with them?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Because I don't want T.Y. Hilton anywhere near Brandon Browner. Paul, bad matchup.
The receiver.
And if you stay left-right and kind of that gives them the opportunity to sort of dictate the matchups, and this is a game where I don't want them dictating the matchup. So I think I would match up.
Okay.
I would too.
Let's go to Drew in Connecticut. Hey, Drew.
Plus, you got Collins on Fleener.
Hey, guys. I'm going to kind of go against Trey's wishes and nitpick the offense, if you don't mind.
Oh, well, you know, you have to take that up with Trey.
It's your call. You can do
the offense. I was surprised that it's the offense that's going to get nitpicked.
I know.
But go ahead.
I haven't really heard anyone talk about it, but does it worry you guys that we couldn't pick up a first down after all those fourth down stops in the fourth quarter against Denver?
No. The game was over.
The game was out of reach at that point, so no, it doesn't matter.
You know, you have a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter. You're just running the ball, running the clock, getting out of there. It, you know, would I have liked to have held the ball for a little bit more? Sure, but I didn't expect to be able to run the ball with much effectiveness against Denver, and they didn't.
Okay, and just second point, do you think it was just Denver having a good run defense that we couldn't run? Because I don't. When's the last time we scored a rushing touchdown? Was it against the Bengals?
Yeah, you know what's funny about this? I'm going to line you up, Andy, right now. I'm going to give you some softballs. You can kill me for this one. I think he makes a decent point because I've actually been thinking about this. They haven't really run the ball in. And I don't know if this has to do with Stephen Ridley, so I'll leave that as my one out. Maybe when Stephen Ridley got hurt, that's the guy they trust on the goal line. They haven't been running the ball inside the five a lot.
No, they have. They've done that fast stuff.
I think it's been an effort to get some touchdown passes.
Oh, he's such an idiot.
Oh,
I think it's an effort to get some touchdown passes.
They have done those hurry up and fail runs.
Right.
Not anything conventional, though.
Right.
Not anything like, here we go, we're just going to line it up and run.
Well, you know? I mean, you did ironically lose your sure-handed goal line.
No, and that's why I said that's my
well,
one.
Well, it is. Don't you think that's
my
funny
one out?
That a guy who maybe the biggest story of his career in New England was his fumbling problem, and yet he was the trusted goal line back who had, you know, 25 touchdowns or whatever it was.
It was between the 20s, and couldn't really.
And not only that, he was sure-handed.
That's funny.
He didn't have many, if any, fumbles, I don't think, inside the 5-yard line.
He had one on the goal line that I think he recovered. I remember.
I'll take your word for it. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
It didn't happen if he doesn't
remember. No. I just said I don't remember it.
No, I'm saying it didn't happen if you don't remember it. I trust you.
What I'm saying is on the north end zone line.
You know Paul Code would be. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. See, there's a subtle difference there. It's me not necessarily calling him out, but telling you, I'm not necessarily buying it.
You see, they're now selling that Papa John's pizza that we had a early sample of.
With the Fritos on it.
Frito, whatever.
Yeah. Chili.
They're now advertising it. We should tell people, not bad.
It is. It's good.
All right, Drew, thanks for the call. Let's
like
go
taco.
To...
But Ridley, I think, was also excellent.
To, right?
Getting in. Like, not every goal line run just opens up in the C parts and you waltz in. I thought he was good at bouncing off the contact, slithering. A good goal line runner. He had a nose for the goal line. In addition to not really fumbling at all.
Yeah. And
I don't think Vereen's that kind of runner.
Well, Vereen is not. And Jonas Gray isn't a proven anything one way or the other.
Right.
Now, you could argue that Devlin should get a few more tries down there, or I might argue that.
Tristan is in Los Angeles. Hey, Tristan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, first time calling in. You guys do a great job. But I wanted to talk about two things. One, I think we're going to blow out the Colts. And two, if I had to pick a loss on the schedule, I'd probably go for the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, that's the logical choice.
It's also a good one. Yeah. It's also the good
one
to lose.
That's the best one. I mean, I know, best losses. The team that you can most afford
playoffs
to lose to.
Seeding-wise, you mean.
Plus, even sort of just the aura of it. You went to Lambeau, you faced Aaron Rodgers on the road, and you lost. There's no shame in that.
And I'll even add in, even if you wanted to get really, detail-oriented and worrisome, okay? Miami lost to Green Bay, too. So, like, you don't even have that extra, well, you know, that might be one of those common games that cost you down the road. Miami lost to them as well.
I also have it as a Super Bowl preview, but that's down the road.
It is funny how the NFC has changed. The aura of NFC has completely changed.
Just in 7 weeks.
I think the AFC is about what we thought. Maybe a little better, but the NFC is much worse than we thought.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And the AFC is also losing some of its little better. Mm-hmm. Like, the Chargers were, like, a dominant team. But
the Chargers, the Colts, the Bengals, and the Ravens all looked kind of good at times this year, and right now, none of them look good.
And I'm sorry, but you may fear the Bills and the Dolphins. I don't expect at the end of the year to be thinking that the Bills and Dolphins are
good teams. Well, I did a little research on that. They have, I think, the best that either one of those teams, the absolute best, is 11-5, and that's a stretch.
Somebody tweeted
playing the win-loss game with them the rest of the way.
Somebody tweeted out, when Goodell is having a dream and his little legs are twitching, he's dreaming about this season because this is exactly how he wants it. It's up in the air.
Doesn't he have big legs?
Huh. Well, you know, dogs, when they sleep and they...
That's another reason why I couldn't be commissioner, Andy.
What?
Because if I were commissioner, I'd be looking for that one dominant team that everybody wants to knock off.
Right.
Not this. Not this.
Well,
I
think the one dominant team and then like four good teams who are all sort of vying to then get the chance. It's sort of like you have Mike Tyson and then you have all these like
the Patriots are the best. The Patriots are in 2007, but the Broncos are pretty good. Could the Broncos beat them? That's what I'd be looking for. Not this, like, who knows, given week.
Paul thinks they all stick. Like, are the Steelers good? I have no idea.
I'm a little intrigued.
They're better than I thought they were.
I'm a little intrigued by the Steelers.
Or are they going to suck in a month?
What I don't know about the Steelers is, was the struggles strictly because those two young kids were out? And now they're a big part of the... Andy, you can't just look at the Patriots scoring 50 points every week and saying, wow, you can just pencil in the offense and then ignore what Pittsburgh has done since they had this offense together.
No, but I can pencil in Brady and Gronk and that.
Right, Gronk got healthy and the offense took off. Well,
so Martavius Bryant got healthy and the offense took, like,
and
that's
Wheaton
not the same.
There's two guys that were added
into
the equation.
I know, and I'm not going to count on those. I think if Gronk's healthy, he's Gronk.
But something happened there.
Well, yeah, they got weapons.
They got guys that started playing.
Okay.
But those weapons might fade as fast as they blew
up. I still think their defense is no good. I mean, they haven't played very well, they didn't play very well against Pittsburgh in the game that they won. They gave up 34 points.
The Colts.
Yeah. And I thought that Baltimore was a hair away from taking complete control of that game last week when the Taliaferro guy fumbled. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I give Pittsburgh credit because once they got the ball rolling, that was Patriot-like. Once they got the ball rolling, they just absolutely smothered Baltimore, and that game was over.
Tristan's still on the line. What else you got, Tristan?
Yeah, I am on the line. Okay, so just about the Colts, I know we kind of talked about this with that other caller recently, but I think that, one, Reggie Wayne isn't what he used to be, and I'd even put Malcolm Butler on him, because I think people are...
I wouldn't do that.
Kobe. Well, because Kobe Fleener, I think, is a real big risk.
I don't.
Really?
You think Kobe Fleener is more dangerous than Reggie Wayne?
Yeah, and I don't think Brandon matches up.
I'm a lot more worried about Dwayne Allen than Kobe Fleener.
I'm not even sure he's the number one tight end anymore I'm worried about.
He had a big game last week, didn't he? Caught a couple really big deep passes, no?
I don't know. He may have.
He had a good game last week. Yeah.
And I also, Jamie Collins, the one thing you can say about his career is he owns
he has good coverage.
Kobe Fleener.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not even really saying he has good coverage. He owns Kobe Fleener.
Yeah. Okay, well, anyway, I wanted to talk more about the Packers and why I thought we didn't match up with them. I think we struggled a lot with really quick, really fast receivers. So I think that we're going to have a lot of trouble covering Randall Cobb. I don't think we have anybody that can really match him as well as we would want to.
Darrell Revis.
Really? Because, he struggled with Mike Wallace, I feel like, against Miami. And then,
a lot of zone.
I don't know, Demaryius Thomas is fast. Emmanuel Sanders was fast. I think they were a really big reason why they got a lot of...
Emmanuel Sanders did the bulk of his damage against your boy, Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, I know.
That you want to match up with Reggie Wayne now.
But there wasn't a strict matchup in that Broncos game.
Exactly. So why are you blaming Revis for the yards that Demaryius Thomas had? Why are you off Revis?
Why are you yelling?
Why do you hate Revis?
No, I love Revis. I think he's a good pickup, but I think he just hasn't been good against small, quick receivers.
But, if Revis is who we think he is...
Get him off the waiver wire.
Right, yeah. Then I'm not worried about Randall Cobb. I think Revis is a versatile corner that can deal with fast guys, quick guys,
bigger guys,
small guys.
Well, yeah.
Revis has got to cover Jordy Nelson against
Green Bay. He's the best cornerback in football.
No team has more weapons than the Broncos and the Patriots did pretty well against them. So I'm
438.
I'm optimistic about the defensive future. I'm optimistic.
As you should be, Fred. I am very optimistic about those physical corners. You'll read about it in the next Patriots football week.
All right.
I am really optimistic about Patriots in general, based on the way they're playing. I'm not as willing to embrace, like, hey, we'll let the other team get 500 yards and we'll trust that they'll only score 21 points every week.
No, but it's
Peyton Manning.
That's not a formula. I know, and he was terrible. I'm not going to rely on that every week.
As Revis said, that's a Hall of Fame player over there. But don't you feel better about this defense? The numbers aside.
Right. Yes,
and
I
I'm
do.
Going
I
a feel thing.
I just feel better that they can
Andy,
have
you just
a,
encapsulated
have a feel
my, it feels better.
They have
it feels
options
better
when they play good offense.
And that starts with Revis.
Yeah.
I don't care how good or not great he's been.
Yep.
Because I'll tell you a little story. You like stories.
Okay.
I was shooting my From the Heart segment in the lobby the other day, and I met a nice man who's actually the captain of the Patriots Platelet Peddlers bike team.
Yeah.
A lot of peas.
It's a tough, that's a tough
popping.
One.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, so what are you doing here? And I was telling him a little bit, and I said, oh, I'm going to do my superlatives, midseason superlatives. And I said, Gronk MVP, Brady Offensive Player of the Year, Revis Defensive Player. And he goes, huh, really? Revis, huh? And I go, oh, you don't really like the Revis midseason defensive player? No, I've been underwhelmed.
Yeah, people expect pick sixes and batted balls.
And shutdown.
Right.
And he hasn't been any of that.
No, but.
But you know what? I've seen flashes of enough that I feel good moving forward with Revis.
He's made the defense better.
He has.
Yes, he has.
And that's why
I don't think
feel
there's
better.
Any question that he's the defensive player of the year.
What?
For this team.
For the Patriots.
Oh, okay.
For this team.
No, I was about to jump ship from Paul.
Your superlatives.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think there's any question.
But even beyond that, I just feel better saying.
Shouldn't have said that.
What?
And just in case we have to do something.
See, it's all about future arguments.
No. I'm talking about like Debate Friday.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. When, right. You know,
well, you didn't worry about it last week when you flipped one week
I forgot.
To the next. But don't. No matter the matchup, you give me any team with receivers. And whatever the I say, I feel better because I have Revis.
Absolutely.
Than I would without him.
Like, right. I would be scared to death in going into Green Bay in Jordy Nelson.
Sure.
Now, I think Randall Cobb is a terrific slot receiver. He can make plays, and he'll get his. I got to make sure Jordy Nelson doesn't get his. That's the number one thing. And I think Revis will take Jordy Nelson if they match up that week. I don't know enough about the intricacies of Green Bay's offense, if it's more like Denver, and they feel like they're going to have to drop into zones and crowd lanes and the best way to go about Aaron Rodgers. I don't know enough about that.
It's just like this week where last week everybody was worried about Emmanuel Sanders. And in the middle of the game, I told you when he, you know, had 100 and whatever, you still think they shouldn't worry about Emmanuel Sanders? And I said, yeah, I do. Because he has 130-something yards against Malcolm Butler, and the Patriots are up 3 scores. It's not a fantasy football game. It doesn't matter what the numbers say at the end.
Right.
The plan of attack kept them from making big plays. And I feel like the Thomases can beat you. I don't think Emmanuel Sanders can beat. It's kind of like Paul's felt for years over Welker or those types. Gronk can beat you. Can Edelman beat you without punt returns? Mm-hmm. Those types of things. And I still have Sanders in that category. And for some reason, fans really seems to fixate on the slot, smaller, fast receivers than the sort of obvious choices.
Because they
Demaryius Thomas, obvious.
Because they're volume guys.
It's quantity.
It's volume. They're going to catch a lot of passes. Now, listen, Sanders I thought was impressive the other day, and I actually thought Denver played. I was impressed with the fact that Denver didn't tuck tail and go home. And he was one of the guys that I thought really he kept at it the whole game. That game was over the whole second half. It was 27-7 at the half. The game was over throughout the second half. They had one brief little spot when they picked off a pass. They scored to make it 27-14, I want to say. The Patriots got a field goal. So, you know, 7-3, Andy. So we're making a comeback. And then Welker dropped the pass. Browner picked it off. And it was 37-14. Game, set, match. Well, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders didn't quit. Julius Thomas was invisible the whole day. I wonder where his, you know, the old DA thing, where his compete level was. Because I didn't notice him the whole day. Credit Browner with that. Browner was physical with him. Chung was physical with him. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But Emmanuel Sanders impressed me, but I still feel like the way Andy just talked about him, he's not going to beat you by himself. He needs the help of the other guys, and he didn't get it.
Let's go to Amir in San Francisco. Hey, Amir.
Hey.
What's up?
Hello.
Amir.
Amir.
Amir there?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, hi, what's up?
Hello?
Yeah, yes. This is where you talk.
Yeah. All right. So I have two things. And sorry, I didn't get to finish yesterday's show, so I'm not sure if you guys already talked about this. But
oh, the ending was the best.
Probably not.
Oh, it actually was.
But did you guys see the person who took a Cessna plane over Jets practice?
Yes. Yeah, they were just showing that on TV, as a matter of fact.
And, of course, the papers used it as their front page for today.
Fire Idzik.
Right, that's awesome. So I thought Fred could get a good kick out of that.
And that was fan-based, you know. It was a, or I don't know if it was that one, but the one at the game was crowdfunded? They all chipped in. You know,
they
had
a billboard.
$10,000, yeah. And they raised all this money. It's organic.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And the second thing is, again, maybe you guys already talked about this, probably big news, but did you hear about that Denver radio host, Mike Evans?
We were just playing that earlier.
We started the show with it.
You missed the beginning of this show and the end of last show.
Yeah, I think some people had problems hearing us at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, they were.
What's that?
I said you guys got it all covered then.
Yeah, we got it covered.
That's what we usually do.
That's why we're the best damn.
All right, you can catch yesterday's show and today's show on the replay. Thanks, Amir.
And last thing, are you in San Diego?
I will be. Eric will be in San Diego. Yeah,
all the week.
Yeah,
Fred will be there late the week.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. I hope I see you guys there at the PFW Elite Party.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. Okay, thanks,
Eric will
Amir.
Be there. He loves those people.
There's about as much chance of that.
Kyle's.
You hate
I know
the
what
PFW
you were
Elite.
Say.
Yeah,
you
hate
I
the
wasn't
PFW
actually
going
to say that. That's his side of the street.
Wait, what did I do? I didn't even do anything. I was going to ask Eric if he was offended that they were dropping dogs from the ceiling in Dallas Cowboys
games.
They
didn't drop dogs from the ceiling. It was a military dog that was rappelling with its
How do we know that dog did, you know,
he wanted to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're trained to do that.
You know when his tail started wagging? When he got
when
about
he got
5 feet
from
the
ground. Right, yeah.
He wanted to be on the damn ground. He didn't want to be dangling from the ceiling
no,
of
but it's
AT&T
not like that was
Field.
The first time he ever did it.
Kyle's
He's supposed to do it to save lives, not to entertain people at a football game.
Kyle's in Ecuador. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah.
Perfectly clear.
Better than a mirror.
Did you see the Mike Mayock? He does like a Mayock plant, and he did one about Edelman this week. And I didn't realize this, but Edelman, I guess in his first season or two, he was also playing defense.
Yeah. Yes.
And so, I mean, so he's a receiver. He plays special teams, defense. If we need him to QB, he can QB.
Some very respected or not so respected NFL Network reporters once wrote and said that Edelman's future in the National Football League was at defensive back and not at receiver. That was Ian Rappaport.
Are there any chances of, you know how J.J. Watt has been messing around with offense a little bit this year, are there any players that you think would be successful switching over from either offense to defense or vice versa?
I think there are quite a few, yeah.
Chandler Jones Jamie Collins.
I think Chandler Jones would be a good candidate.
I think Jamie Collins could get some reps at tight end sometime, maybe.
Yep.
Ever.
Yep.
Spring.
And then the only other thing I was going to say about Edelman was, did you guys see the video about Brady talking to him about, yeah, I had to go see my bud down the end zone, buddy. Is the bromance thing going on?
Yeah, saw that. They do have a little bit of an uncomfortable relationship.
The fact that he calls him Jules.
Jules does bother me a little
bit.
Well,
a lot of people call him Jules. A lot of the teammates call
I don't.
Him that. Yeah. Well, you're not his teammate or his friend.
Yeah, and he doesn't pattern his attire and haircut after me.
It's like Jules Verne. Do you know who Jules Verne is?
Yeah, the guy with the hat and the plaid.
1.21 gigawatts.
You don't know, do you?
Back to
guess not. Who am I talking about? I was thinking of Verne
Lundquist.
Is that who I'm talking about?
What, the mini-me?
No, Vern.
Oh, that guy, and the funny guy, Vern?
He had, like, movies. Yeah,
and
he wore a hat and, like, plaid.
No. Jules Verne is a science fiction author.
Oh, 180, whatever.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
But from
Mission
Back to
Mars.
The Future 3, yeah. Doc Brown, supposedly, that was his idol, was Jules Verne.
Yeah, but it's not just Brady that calls him that.
I understand.
Yeah, but when Brady does it, it seems a little different.
It's different.
In your mind, it does, because you
No.
Yeah. You are perverted.
It's different. It's different.
See? He's perverted, too.
I'm not perverted.
Perverted Paul Perillo.
Let's go
He's
to
a Patriot platelet peddler.
Let's go to Balarco in Los Angeles. Hey, Balarco.
Paulo.
Hey, guys. I had two things I wanted to talk about. Number one, with all due respect to the Colts, and even though we're playing them at their home, I'm not really that scared of them. I feel like especially with their defense, I'm really not scared, and with the offense, I feel like Denver was such a juggernaut. Like, I just feel like after coming from that game, the Colts are, especially with bye week and the body rest, the Colts seem to be slightly easier assignment.
I know, but
well, the Colts have a bye week too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do.
And so, they don't. But no. He's right. Their weapons are not as good as their offense is not as good as Denver's.
Right, but that doesn't mean that. I mean, it could have just been that Denver had a really bad game last week.
Right.
Not and that they were on Denver's the road. A bad team.
It could be.
They were on the road. It snowed, and Manning may have pooped himself. Right. It got a little windy.
Weather's not going to be a factor.
And it's not out of the question that a good team like New England could have a bad game against Indianapolis.
But I don't even know if it needed to be a bad game. I think Indy could just have a really good game and beat you.
Thanks, Belarco.
Well, yeah. I think they're high enough in the NFL sort of stratosphere that if they play a really good game, they can beat you at their place.
I agree.
I just worry about, you know, us fans. You know, we're on a high right now. But if we go into the Colts and the Colts, you know, beat us, I mean, I'm afraid, you know, we'll dip right back down to those depths of depression.
No.
We can't have that false sense of security. I'm telling you, any of these games coming up are losable.
I'm telling
sorry.
You, they're
There's
not.
There's different degrees.
They're
of,
not.
They're different
not.
Degrees.
But
they're
losing to the Colts is okay.
But any of these teams have what
they're
it
not.
Takes to win.
You're not losing to the Lions. You're not losing to the Bills.
They could very well
they're
lose
not
to
losable.
The Lions.
Oh they God. Could not very well lose to the Lions.
Oh, my
this
God.
Guy is are you picking the Lions?
No, that's next week. We have
Oh, so he's leaving the door open.
I leave the door
I
open
can
for
tell
every
you,
week.
So you're saying
every
there's
week.
A chance.
You need to stop.
Unless Tom Brady dies, I am not picking the Lions.
We need to do an intervention.
And even if he dies, if Gronk's here, I'm picking the Patriots with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, Fred,
yeah.
you need to talk to him about this. You've got to stop picking against the Patriots. It's not safe.
No, but what Eric is doing, he's doing what I do with the Patriots.
I worry about it.
Sometimes my emotions take over in my picks, and I want the Patriots to win, so I pick them. And it's the opposite with the pick, Eric.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I have a very simple formula when I pick games. The team I think is going to win, I pick to win.
But
the team I think is going to lose, I pick to
lose. I know,
lose.
But
it's very simple.
But sometimes you don't realize it, but your emotion kind of
It has
of
nothing to do with emotion.
Clouds your judgment.
No, it doesn't.
You know?
It doesn't.
What
I
you
pick
want
who
to
I
happen
think,
sometimes
no.
becomes what you think will happen.
No. What I think will happen is what I pick.
I'm just telling you.
A practice made famous by Andy Hart in 2005 when he wanted his pick.
By the
to
way,
come
I'm leading
no,
the
that's
picks.
Different.
I'm leading the picks contest.
He is leading the picks contest.
So you don't need to be telling
despite
me how to
being
pick
wrong
games.
About the Patriots.
Right,
all the time.
Right. So that's pretty good. That's impressive.
Because for five straight weeks he picked the other team.
Right.
Is that
no?
Is that true?
That's not true.
Is it anywhere
that's
near
not,
that?
That's not even close.
Three,
to being
three
true.
Out of five.
No.
All right. One more call, then we'll take a break. Tyo,
I picked Kansas
is
City.
In California.
Yeah.
I hope
Cincinnati.
I'm pronouncing your name right.
Yeah, you are. Hello?
Yes.
Denver. Pick Denver.
Hey,
okay.
Guys, so maybe I've got a hypothetical question for you guys. It's mainly for Andy because he just loves Gronkowski. But, after this season, Gronk's contract ends, right?
No.
No.
No, it's in my hypothetical, like, or, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so after this season, Gronk, his contract ends. And the rest of the season, and then the like playoffs, we go undefeated, and we win the Super Bowl. And Gronk, he just dominates, and he's basically like the Michael Jordan of the NFL. He's just the best player.
Yeah, I see.
But he's made it clear that he's willing to sit out the next season. I mean, or hold out if he doesn't get the contract that he wants from Bill Belichick.
Yep.
And we've seen the contracts that Kyle Anderson got. And we saw what happened to Wes Walker, where I thought like he deserved like a better contract. So Gronk coming off like an amazing season, what do you think Bill would offer him?
Well, right now he's
he has
be
a
due,
pretty good contract
he's
right
got,
now.
He's due a bonus.
Yeah, but this
right?
is a hypothetical. Forget real life. Yeah. This is a hypothetical. He's coming off. He won the Super Bowl MVP. The Patriots went undefeated and won the Super Bowl. He's the greatest player in football, which is you know not far from reality. I think Bill would give him a big contract. He's already given him a big contract. You know, the structure would be problematic because the first one was an extension with a delayed bonus and different things.
I'd give him $12 to $15 million a year.
You'd give him $15 million a year?
Yeah.
So like 6 years, $90 million?
Something like that, yeah.
I don't think Bill would give him that. I think Bill would give him more than $10 million a year, though.
I mean, it all wouldn't be guaranteed, but that would be the you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Bill would pay him. I think Bill recognizes greatness. And I've always said this. Bill is not willing to pay high money for the second, third, or fourth best player at a position. When he has the best, he pays the best. And he's given big contracts. I think he would give him a really big contract. I do.
I don't know. I just feel like
I can see Bill just saying, you know, it's just the tight end position. He's got, you know, he's got Brady throwing him the ball. We can find any, like,
The first problem with that is he's not just a tight end. He's not just in anything. Your offense dominates when he's on the field. Your offense sucks when he's not on the field.
He's the most unique player at that position ever.
And you're going to transition from Tom Brady in the next couple of years. The best thing you could give Jimmy Garoppolo to help him in that transition is number 87, Rob Gronkowski.
And Gronk often masks the bad throws that Brady throws.
Even Brady said, how the F did he catch that?
You know, and if let's just say that Brady has two or three more years. Let's say three more years, okay? Even though Garoppolo will be coming to the end of that first contract, his next contract isn't going to be that big because of his starting point. Even if he becomes your starting quarterback, you're not going to be paying him like Aaron Rodgers or, you know,
because you don't know what you have. Really.
Yeah, and his agent can't make that argument.
Right.
You know, so you'll have the money to pay Gronkowski and some guys on defense big money because your quarterback isn't taking up that space in your cap.
Maybe.
I think in theory that's true. I agree with you, but there is a chance that he could use that as leverage.
Right.
Because now he's
Garoppolo?
Yeah. Well, I can leave.
Yeah.
If you don't want to pay me, I can go somewhere else. There are four or five other teams that need a starting quarterback, and if you don't want to pay me like one because I haven't been one yet,
well, they're going to pay him like a starting quarterback, but not like an elite starting quarterback.
No, that's why I said in theory you're correct.
Yeah,
I believe.
But that's $15 million. I mean, a starting quarterback is like $15 million. Then you go up to 20-something for elite.
I mean, would you want to give him like what Ryan Fitzpatrick is making, which is not blowing it out of the water or anything like that, but Andy Dalton, you know, there's starting quarterbacks that make good money that aren't elite money.
Yep.
And I don't think
Fitzpatrick
got that deal in Buffalo. It's
Andy
not apples to apples.
But Andy Dalton's money was that's a legit contract.
Yeah, but it's low end for the elite quarterback.
No, but I mean, for
way
someone like Garoppolo,
end.
that's
yeah, and he can't even argue that. I mean, he's not starting.
No, but
he's not going to the playoffs.
Right,
he might. He might want to be treated like a starting quarterback.
Well, it'll be yet another agent that mishandles his client and misjudges the market. All right. Thanks, Tayo. All right. We're going to take a break. Food's here. Who bought food, by the way? Oh, lunch is provided by Andrew in Tempe, Arizona. So thank you, Andrew. And we'll look for an email if you send it, and we'll read that. In the meantime, we'll eat your food.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's, the success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
We all know that Paul Perillo is an award-winning journalist, but did you know he's also an excellent babysitter?
Guys, knock it off.
Paul excels in communication.
I have a terrible mouth.
You do have a terrible mouth.
Not to your kids, though, right?
When I want emphasis.
Really? You swear at them.
Teaching.
They listen to you more when you swear?
Wait, what do you use?
When I raise my voice and I get angry and I might, you know, let a I'll kick your A or something like that.
Oh, he's threatening. Wow, violent.
And discipline.
I'm going to tell you right now, if Will gets arrested when he's 16, they have an open beer in the car, I am going to hit him. Okay? I'm telling you right now. But it won't be a spanking on the ass either.
In need of a sitter this weekend? Call Paul at 855-PATS-500 or email your babysitting request to webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Fred, Andy, Eric, and Papa Perillo.
All right, we're back at PFW in progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Yeah, you know those bits are exaggerations, right? You know I don't go home and swear at my kids every day, right?
Oh, of course.
Oh,
right, right.
Oh.
Why, is DSS listening? We're in enough trouble lately. Now we're going to lose our kids. Although you did tell me an example the other day where it wasn't for emphasis.
Oh, no, it was because that was a long thing.
What was the phrase, though?
TJ, ass.
No. What was the? Give me. Can I get the?
No, I don't want to get to that. I don't want to embarrass my son.
I don't even remember what it was. I just remember thinking that seems like it's rather flippant use of ass.
No, it was the culmination of a long sequence.
Sean of Rhode Island writes,
and
in,
no, I didn't tell him I was going to whoop his ass.
He's a first
get
time.
Get the leaves. Get the switch.
First time emailer. Thought the bye week was a good time to revisit the Garoppolo versus Brady debate that dominated the first few games. I know Andy only has Brady starting for 11 more months, but after seeing Brady the last few games, it is clear that he can still play at a high level. If we can bolster the O-line via draft or free agency, he should be effective for at least the end of his current contract. I could see Brady sticking around until Gronk's contract is up in 2019. one of these years, Gronk will be healthy in the postseason, and that is all it will take to win another Super Bowl. Brady knows this.
I just don't think you can say he's going to be good through the next 3 years. Like, you can't. He's at that point.
I can't even say that.
Age is a real thing.
Yeah. And you know,
we also, I don't think, ever said that he can't play at a high level.
Even though I'm firmly in the position of the decline has not started, it could start next year. I'm not saying it couldn't.
It could come like you've predicted for Manning. No joking.
Right.
Like, guys get old.
Right.
It happens to everybody.
And sometimes it's a sudden thing.
Right.
Emmitt Smith just fell off a cliff.
So I don't know that you can project 3 years. Take it year by year. Every year, look at him, say, you know, he looks good. This is, you know, he's been able to add this. This is a little worse, but like this is a little better.
The first month clearly wasn't his best month. Now, what if next year it's 6 weeks, he doesn't look good, and then, you know, the year after that it's 8 weeks, and he still doesn't, you know what I mean?
Well, more so, what if it's 6 weeks or even 1 month, but the O-line is good.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
right.
These receivers are the same ones he had last year.
Right.
Think that as long as those other things are in place, you won't notice a huge difference. No. But I wanted to get back to the Garoppolo-Brady thing. And Andy, I know that you made the joke October of 15.
Yes.
Right? You didn't really believe that, did you?
Not really.
At the time. I mean, obviously it's folly now.
No. Why is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
He's trying to save you from yourself.
My point is,
Bill Belichick is a big believer in 1 year too early and not 1 year too late.
That's true.
If Garoppolo dominates summer and he can unload Brady for a ransom,
I can only go by rational thought. I can't peek into that kind of a future. My thought process here is was there really a Garoppolo Brady debate in the first month of the season? Like, were people legitimately talking about the time is now? You got to make a move. Were people really talking about that? I know that people said,
I don't think so.
Would you trade him? Would you get 2 first round picks? That was legit. I mean, Adam Schefter talked to some GMs and stuff, but it wasn't because you thought Brady needed to be replaced by Garoppolo right now.
It was funny because as soon as Brady's
on the way down, what can you get for him and then make the change?
There was one person on radio, I think they might have been joking, when Brady started playing better. They said, oh, now's the time to pounce because his value will never be higher.
Well, they were joking.
Okay.
But I want to walk softly here because we're getting a lot of trouble with very sensitive media members lately. But one guy did ask Coach Belichick after a game, does a quarterback position need to be evaluated this week?
Right.
Now, that guy can take it. I'm not actually worried about him getting mad at us.
When Mike said that, do you think he was saying that Garoppolo should start next week?
No.
Because that's different between a debate and, you know, Brady hasn't played well. Does he need to be evaluated here?
But everybody's evaluated.
It was a dumb
week.
Question because of that. Everybody's evaluated.
Well, okay, now we're just gloves. Or dumb question, Mike Jarrett.
No, why? I said that to him. I said, don't you think he gets evaluated every week, Mike?
I don't know that it's a dumb question because I don't think he meant it literally in terms of, yes, we grade everybody every week. We watch every single play for every single person, and they're graded. I think Mike Giardi knows that. I think he very well knows that.
I think he definitely meant it. As compared to Garoppolo.
I do, too.
Yeah.
So there was some thought there.
Right.
It's like, you know, do you need to evaluate Nate Solder, your left tackle? You know, you were saying, is there a chance you need to go in a different direction at quarterback? That's how I took it.
By evaluate, I gave him too much
or
credit.
Or question.
You guys convinced me.
I haven't heard that ever asked before.
I was wrong.
Right?
Right.
Never heard that asked before, that line of questioning, that type of question. So there was a difference there.
Yeah. See, I thought it was
for at least one guy.
I thought it was his way of saying, has Brady not played well? And having him talk about that. But what you just said is very logical.
He knows enough about football.
And by the way, somebody tweeted out yesterday, and we were kidding when we said, you know, maybe if Gronk gets hurt, maybe if Brady gets hurt and can't play, Gronk will be the shoe-in for the MVP. No, we're not hoping that Tom Brady gets
somebody
hurt.
Somebody took that seriously?
To prove a point. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they did, but they tweeted it out.
You can't say anything anymore. We should just blow this show up. We had a good run. Everybody's too sensitive. I mean, they can't take us. No one can take us. Fans can't take us.
Well,
media members can't take us.
See, the thing about our show is that if you comment on us, then you're admitting you listen.
Right.
And no one wants to admit they listen.
But more and more people are having to admit they listen.
We've become a victim of our own success.
Right.
Because we used to just operate in our own little bubble down here. We teased and ragged people. We like everybody in general.
We like everybody. And no
Andy doesn't like Florian.
And the people that we make fun of most are ourselves. So,
oh, yes. God. Yeah. The most prevalent thing on the show is our internal arguments, correct?
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Where do they stem from? Making fun of each other.
Right.
It's true.
Let's see. Chris, who says, Christian from Appleton's, who says his alternate name is Ian with a Christ in front, says,
you guys can see.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
You guys can see him. I mean, isn't that what you guys usually say?
Huh?
Yeah, yes.
You I don't want to give out
loudly,
anything.
Yes, is your answer.
I don't know. Anyway, hey, guys, and Eric, he says, Andy, you missed a golden opportunity, and I had to let you know. When Mike Kliss arrived in studio during the Dunkin' Donuts pregame social last Sunday, someone asked him how he was. Having just come inside from the weather, he answered something to the effect of that he was damp or moist.
Yeah, he definitely did, but I'm a professional.
He seriously?
Said he was moist?
Mike
yeah,
Kliss
he
is
he said,
moist?
He said he was moist. If it had been anybody from New England or, like, he's an out-of-town writer. He doesn't know what we do here.
He says, dude, that was gold. You missed mining right there. How could you have missed that? We expect a certain level of ribaldry from you.
Ribaldry.
Andy, ask Eric what that means. Ribaldry?
Ribaldry. Well, I would have known had you read it properly.
And
I'm familiar with ribaldry, but not ribaldry.
And you not only... I pronounce it the proper English way.
Ribaldry is what Paul and I are suffering from.
Right.
And me. And you not only fumbled, but didn't even know the ball was thrown your way.
No,
shame.
I did.
Otherwise, keep up the great work. Look forward to listening to your podcast in the car. Second job is delivering pizzas. And looking forward to going to the game in nearby Green Bay, bringing my 11-year-old son to our first NFL game, first for both of us. Well, that'll be great. That's a great first game to go to.
Good atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, Europe.
Good game.
You live in
matchup.
Packer country, yeah. And your team, your Patriots are rolling into town. Well, hopefully rolling into town. You got one more little.
Calls are piling up, but let's go
we'll be flying, first,
Barry Insiong from the Orange County in the Patriots Facebook tailgate. Hey, Barry, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Happy bye week.
Yeah, you too. It's like a holiday.
So I figured this was a good time to give any Patriots fans going to road games a little update on what's going on for the remaining road games.
Sounds good. Let's go.
So you just had someone mention, well, I'll get that in a moment about Green Bay, but first one coming up, obviously, is Indianapolis. And for the pregame, we've got a couple of different options. For those that will be right near the stadium, there is a place owned by Patriots fans called Stadium Tavern. So that's going to be a great place to hang out both on Saturday night and on game day.
I'll be there.
Okay, cool. And then for those that will be in the downtown area, the Hard Rock Cafe is actually invited Pats fans to come over. And if we get enough people over there, they're going to offer a free buffet and a bus ride to the stadium.
Wow. Now, where's this again?
Fred will be there.
Hard Rock Cafe.
No, but, like, do you have an address or anything?
I do not.
It's downtown. Downtown. Okay. It's right.
It's downtown.
That little two-block area where everything is, it's right there.
Okay. I'm going to be there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, for any of the details that anybody's looking on, anything I'm talking about.
The only detail they need is free buffet.
Well, this is on game day, of course. So this is
game day. I won't be there.
Yeah, this is a tailgate.
You don't need a free buffet
party. So, but anyway, I was going to say, yeah, anybody who's looking for information on everything I'm going to mention here should jump on our Facebook group, which is Patriots Tailgate.
And please enter that into the fan club registry page too.
Yeah, I've been doing that. So,
thank you.
I'll keep updating that as well. So that's for Indianapolis, and then you just mentioned Green Bay from the last caller. There's a lot of different tailgates going on around the stadium, a lot of that people can, you know, chip in $20-$30 to and get, you know, food and drink. There's a handful of people that are catching bus in from Milwaukee. So right now we don't have one centralized thing going on, but for anybody looking to join at least with a handful of other Patriots fans, they should check out what others already planning on. And then obviously the next week after that is the big one that I've been spending a lot of my time on working on is San Diego.
That's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, so the Bolt Buster Bash is the party we're having Saturday night, and that is basically sold out. We're going to have a full house for that. We're going to have, some special guests, including you and Eric, and some others that we're not announcing yet. We're
going
to have some door prizes, some fun, and it's a good way to, you know, hang out on Saturday night. The game against the Chargers isn't until the evening. It's a 5:30 local game, so you know you can imbibe and you can sleep in and you know not worry about missing anything.
Right, and I heard the secondary market for that ticket is very hot right now.
Yeah, it's probably cooling off a little bit now that the Chargers have gone.
I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about to your party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, it's basically sold out. There's a few opportunities for those who are really...
Head over to StubHub.
Minutes are going... Yeah. Well, no, it's not quite that big yet.
Ace ticket, Paul. Come on,
Perillo.
But yeah, there's a lot of things going
Sorry,
on.
Sorry, confused my crooks.
Contribute to what we're trying to get going for the tailgate and the party. They'll find all the information on our event page. But yeah, we had a group discount at a hotel, Courtyard Central, and basically we sold that out for Saturday night.
Wow.
Entirely Patriots fan.
That's awesome.
Barry, where's the San Diego party going to be?
The Bolt Bash San Diego.
We've been there before.
Yeah,
the place that we went to the last time.
Yeah, when the World Series was going on.
Yeah,
I believe so.
On the outskirts. It's not in downtown.
Yeah, it's in the outskirts. It's like in a strip mall.
Right, right.
You're correct.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember it now. Giants hit a late home run.
You were with us, Paul.
He knows what happened.
It was one of the Giants World Series.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, might have been an AL. Might have been an NLCS.
That all four of you used to travel to the road games.
Right.
Old days.
Yeah. It'd be nice if you guys get the whole crew out again, but...
Different responsibilities, Barry.
Yeah, Fred Chief.
I hear you. And then something that's not sold out that we're going to invite everybody to join us for is the tailgate at Qualcomm Stadium in the parking lot between section G4 and H4. We're expecting a whole ton of people because there's, you know, so many people driving down from L.A., even Northern California, the Boltbuster Bash party can only accommodate so many, but the tailgate party, we can bring as many as we can find. So,
sure.
Again, more information on that you can find on our event page.
All right. Barry, can you promise to check in from these pregame tailgates during the pregame social on Patriots.com?
Yeah, we'll set that up. It's
going
to be a little, it gets a little hectic as we count down towards the game because, you usually want to go into a stadium about an hour so you don't get stuck in security lines.
Well, perfect. We're on 2 hours before, baby. First hour, we'll pencil you in.
Have somebody email in some photos or something like that.
Of the ladies.
For sure.
Yeah.
I've got someone who's handling all the social media for me, so, yeah, I'll make sure that we're getting a lot of updates.
You're going big time now, Barry.
Director. You now have a social media director?
Wow.
I do.
Wow.
It's all volunteers. All I can do is, take care of them in little ways, but... It's a lot to handle, so I'm grateful for all the help that I'm getting.
Yeah, and you do a great job, by the way.
And by the way, the T-shirts are a hit. A lot of people really like the T-shirts.
Cool. Well,
with the mascots being roasted or whatever.
Yeah, the divisional opponents.
Yeah, I've been wearing it. A lot of people pointed out. My kids like it. It's a big hit.
Cool.
Well done.
Well, we'll do another set next year for sure. So
I'll be 3X by then.
All right.
And just to close it out, one more thing. Yeah. In the last road game of the season is the Jets. And I think there's going to be a party at the new Patriots bar of New York City called Tuttle's. So that's still being worked out. But again, come join the Patriots Tailgate Facebook group. Check on the event page. And by the time that game comes around, we'll have more information.
Hey, and Barry, one other thing. As you learn about these new Patriots bars, and you ever talk to the managers, they can also register themselves on Patriots.com now, too.
You're right.
Yeah, we want to get that list of no matter where you are in the country or the world, if you're an owner of a bar that, and you promise to sell the Patriots, show the Patriots game, we want to, give them some publicity, too.
Yeah, and I think that's been working great from what I've heard that, you're right. It's not just for clubs, but it's also for bars or establishments that are showing the Patriots game. So, that's a good point.
All right, thanks, Barry. Hey, you're right, doing a great job. Keep it up. And all of Patriots Nation thanks you. Barry.
We should send out an email or whatever and see if those people want to do the pregame social. Play it over there. We can check in, publicize their bar a little bit.
You mean over their sound system?
Yeah, pregame show.
Yeah. Ooh. That'd be cool.
What?
I could just see one of our Amendola fights breaking out. What the hell are these guys talking about?
Paul, we're professionals.
Really?
Ish.
Let's go to another call. Malachi in Brockton. Hey, Malachi.
Hey, how y'all doing today, man?
Great.
I'm just, really tired about, every time, the Patriots win, it's always something from the Patriots haters. Let me give you an example. Last week, the week before last, we beat the Bears, it was, it's the Bears secondary, and all that. Then it's this week, we beat the Broncos, it was something else, It's either, the three most common things I hear is either that you know, we're still cheating, or, you know, or, you know, it's several things that I hear. I can't even think of them off the top of my head. You know, I don't even blame that Brady was horrible these first four games. You know, you have to understand that he had a, you know, an offensive line that wasn't very good. And, you know, he only had Julian Edelman, who was reliable at the time. You know, I remember saying to a couple of friends of mine, I said, you're not going to win many games just throwing the ball to Julian Edelman. You know, and I will take Tom Brady over Peyton Manning any day. Peyton Manning has all those weapons and still can only put up 21 points. Tom Brady has Gronk and Edelman and can put up 43. So I'll take Tom Brady any day, you know. And don't get me wrong, Peyton Manning is a good quarterback, but I just,
all right,
I feel like Brady does more with less.
And on offense.
I feel
absolutely
like Tom Brady had Peyton's weapons, I feel like we probably have a couple more Super Bowls, you know. So
I agree.
I'm just really tired of hearing all that stuff, guys. You know, it's always an excuse. It's always.
Does that make you upset, Malachi?
Clearly.
Does it make you upset that, because I agree with the last thing you just said. If Tom Brady had those kinds of weapons, he'd have two or three more Super Bowls. Does that make you upset? Because it kind of bugs me.
I'm sorry, say it again?
You just said if Tom Brady had those kinds of weapons throughout his career, he'd have two or three more Super Bowls. I wholeheartedly agree with
I
that.
I think if the Patriots had Calvin Johnson and J.J. Watt
and
Adrian
Peterson.
I think they would have won a lot of Super Bowls.
Eric, I think you and I are done here.
No.
I really do.
I wanted to get back to Malachi. I want to ask him the question because he's the one who said it.
Right.
Okay.
You mentioned that if Brady had more weapons like Manning has – throughout his career, they would have two or three more Super Bowls. I apologize to Fred. I happen to agree with you.
Here's
on
where
that,
we blame Bill Belichick.
On that remark, and I'm wondering if that bothers you as a Patriots fan.
It honestly does bother me. I honestly believe it. You know, we had no idea coming in that Brennan LaFell would emerge into what he's emerged into, because in training camp, we seen a guy who was dropping a bunch of passes, you know, and really wasn't catching much of nothing, you know, and we didn't know what Dobson was going to come in doing, you know, Kimber ended up being cut or whatever. So, you know, we kind of had to wait and see. We didn't really have anything mapped out where you can say, okay, I feel comfortable coming into the season that what I meant is that we don't have an outside wide receiver. I feel like we're that's coming along with Brandon LaFell, but he's still too inconsistent to me. You know, I'm not too sold out on him.
No, I get, I understand what you're talking about. That kind of struck me, that comment, and I have a hard time arguing with it, because I do think that if they had a little more around him over the last 4 or 5 years, they probably would have won another title. And
why don't they have more around him, Paul?
I don't know why you have to take it into like an affront on society.
It sounds like you're making an accusation.
I don't think they've done a good job in free agency over the last 5, 6, 7 years. Do you?
Well, no, they've had some misses, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
I think they've had opportunities to improve the team that they haven't done.
I think you could say that about every team in the NFL.
I'm not talking about other teams because they don't have Tom Brady.
Like you guys, we
had the inherited advantage of having the best quarterback in the league during that time.
So other teams have to do even more.
And that's why they do.
Or they try to do.
And you know what? Those other teams succeeded because they've won Super Bowls in that time, and we haven't.
No team has succeeded more than the Patriots have.
Well, in the last 5 or 6 years, that's untrue.
There's going to be a winner every year, but I'm talking about sustained success.
Right.
Well, it's hard to win a Super Bowl every year.
I agree. So that's why you should do whatever you can to try to win it.
It's Gronk that keeps this offense running. The first four games, Gronk wasn't Gronk.
Correct.
You seen what he was able to do offensively. It wasn't much enough.
Nothing.
The
first four games.
Touchdown a game, and that touchdown was going to Julian Edelman. But once you get Gronk involved, it opens up these receivers that are not necessarily good enough to get open at that if Gronk was out the game, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I wonder how many teams or fans of teams are saying, you know, we should have drafted Gronk.
Andy.
What?
MVP?
Gronk.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
But the Patriots drafted him.
See, what started this argument, Malachi's
Thanks,
comment,
Malachi.
I just say if he had Gronk.
Good thing they drafted him because they
the
never would have signed
years,
him as a free agent.
You'd have more Super Bowls. Just if you had I think you'd have more Super Bowls. Regardless of salary cap, other additions, anything.
That's true.
I think you'd have more Super Bowls.
Yeah, and if they had, as you had said earlier this year, about 2 weeks ago, acquired Vincent Jackson for Gronk insurance.
Yep, that's what
you'd
I wanted
win a Super
for.
Bowl, right?
Well,
so maybe if they had done
I'm not
that.
Not going all in on
maybe if
Super
they, right. I'm not talking about the specific of Vincent Jackson. I'm talking about the idea.
Then what? I mean, they're
fine.
Then what?
They went into the definition of all in.
They didn't, though.
They didn't?
No, they didn't.
Well,
I don't.
What do you have to do to go all in this league?
Put yourself at a detriment moving forward. They haven't done that.
So they haven't gone all in.
Well, they were aggressive. To me, all in means, Fred, I am going to pay through the bunghole for this next year. I am screwed. I am porked. They are not.
How can you be screwed if the cap is crap?
Well, that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem. The cap is crap. You think Denver went
all in.
So then
there's no such thing as all in.
Well, there really isn't.
I think Denver went all
in. I think you can be aggressive as you want.
But I don't understand why it's bad.
But they are not in trouble with the cap moving forward, man, by any means.
All right, before you go on to the next call, I want to address those two things. Vincent Jackson is just the latest thing that you said about that.
Right.
I think less about the specific guy and more about the thought.
Okay.
So if Gronkowski had been healthy, maybe they would have won another Super Bowl. Maybe if they had acquired someone of Gronkowski's kind of ability, I'm not talking about Gronkowski, a tight end, another weapon offensively so you could withstand the loss of Gronkowski, you would have won too. Which is Andy's point about Vincent Jackson. He would acquire Vincent Jackson. He wanted to do that because in case something happens.
But that's overly simplistic, and I don't mean that as a shot. Like,
my overly simplistic thing is when you have opportunities to make your team better, I think you should take them. And that's why I would not, to segue to the Denver question, I would not say anything about what Denver has done. They acquired players that made their team better. If they don't win the Super Bowl, like you said, it's hard to win the Super Bowl. There's no guarantee. If there was a guarantee, then you could sign up for it. Everybody would do it.
But right.
There's no guarantees that you're going to win, and Andy is exactly right. There's nothing that's going to be – there's no repercussions that are going to be felt 5 years from now for Denver. If Brock Osweiler can't play, Denver will not be good in 5 years. Just like if Jimmy Garoppolo can't play, the Patriots won't be good in 5 years.
But don't you think – I mean, it's a little unfair. For example, Danny Amendola was just a bad decision.
Right.
It was a bad decision, right?
Yes.
It wasn't a lack of willingness. If anything, they overpaid a guy who's not that good.
I'm not getting into the cheap. I'm not talking about that. I think that there have been – like this particular year, I thought they needed to get a pass rusher. A veteran pass rusher. They didn't do it. I'm not saying that they're too cheap to do it. I don't know why they didn't do it.
Look,
maybe they felt like they didn't need it. I don't know.
But, I mean, what if they had signed Jared Allen but didn't sign Revis and Browner? I mean, they targeted a
need
on pass defense.
What I'm saying is you can do it all, is what I'm saying. That's all in.
I don't. But you
really
can't.
Doing it all is all in.
You can't, because Denver didn't do it all. Why didn't they sign LaFell and Sanders? Why didn't they bring back the white guy, Eric Decker, and sign Sanders? Why didn't they bring Sean Marino
back? Well, they did sign Tlaib and Ware.
Right, and the Patriots signed Revis and Browner.
Okay, and Ward then.
Okay.
So you can always sign another guy.
Right,
and
the Patriots
did. They needed an offense. They needed it on defense.
Who?
The Broncos. They signed on offense what they needed. They needed the help on defense, and that's where they focused all their money.
And the Patriots signed two starting corners.
Right, and they needed they needed a pass rusher, and they didn't sign one of those.
Right.
So that's all I'm saying. I would like to see
Denver
them go all the way.
So Denver has everything. There was nothing Denver could have added?
I don't think that Denver – no, I don't think there was anything that Denver could have added.
So they have the perfect roster. They could not have added another –
perfect. There's no guarantees. There's nothing – there's no perfection.
Couldn't have added a right tackle. So that some guy I never heard of isn't playing and giving up
pressures. I don't know enough about Chris Clark in that
every
guy played
single team can be better.
To make that comment.
The 2007 Patriots could have been better.
But who did
they
not?
They could have had talent in other areas that would have made them better.
But were they not interested in signing a guy?
I think every team puts
I think the Broncos were interested in signing guys they didn't sign. I think the Patriots were interested in signing guys they didn't sign.
But were they also interested in guys
that they signed, both teams.
But who should they have been interested in that they weren't?
What?
Who should they have been interested in that they weren't?
But, Paul, you
don't
have to look at the – we don't know.
Jared Allen's dead.
But there might
People say Jared Allen's flat out done.
Well, that's the thing.
So were they right or were they wrong to not sign Jared Allen?
Well, I'm going to go Patriots on you on this one. If you were here, you wouldn't be dead.
I'm sure we could come up with a list of guys who we think – why weren't they interested in this guy? And I'm sure –
And you always think after the fact that they were right and you were wrong.
No.
No, because he thought he was dead right on the Arizona pass rusher.
And what's his name?
He's dead now.
John Abraham.
John Abraham.
He's dead
John
now. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, but
Fred was all in. And Fred said they screwed
up. And you might have won the Super Bowl.
And I said
no,
screwed up.
You might have. You might have won it all.
But Fred said they screwed up.
I said they screwed up.
But that's my example.
Okay, but no, every team screws up.
But
it seems when the Patriots screw up, it's because, and I'm not saying you're saying
this. Because it's the only team that we follow, Fred.
Or they have this crazy value system that keeps
them
from
being all in.
I know, but I think we don't look at the other teams when we criticize the Patriots. I think the Patriots have a way of evaluating talent that might be a little bit different than the Broncos.
Listen,
that doesn't mean
let's
that
stop
the Patriots
using the
are
term all
wrong.
In because I know that rubs people the wrong way because a certain radio host uses that term and you can't say anything to agree with him. Wipe off the all in stuff because that's what Felger and Maz say all the time. And I know that rubs people the wrong way. So you can't say you possibly agree with anything that two reprehensible radio hosts say all the time. Okay?
I think that was sarcasm, but I don't know.
Do you not feel like the Patriots have left guys out there, I don't know, often over the last, I don't want to say how many times, often over the last few years?
Just like every other team has.
Okay, well, I don't care about the other teams. The other teams don't have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. The other teams don't start off the year with an unbelievable advantage and leg up over the other 31 teams because they have the best coach and quarterback. So if you can put some more around them than the other teams have, and you add what the other teams add, you're that much better than the other teams. See 2007.
Yeah, I think there's...
See 2004.
I don't think the Patriots look at a player and say, this guy could put us over
well,
the
hump.
Well,
what'd they add in 2004? They traded
no,
for
No, I'm
Corey
saying
Hill.
They. I think that in 2004, that was the best roster in football. They were the best team, best ability, best yeah. talent.
But that was
they
pretty much
all.
Assembled, right? I mean...
Well, they went out and got Corey Dillon.
Corey Dillon was a... But yeah, they've tried to do that and failed miserably. That was a garbage heap type pickup, a troubled... You know, it's not all that far from Haynesworth.
Second round pick they gave up,
or,
didn't they?
Yeah, but they gave up a fourth for Albert Haynesworth. People think they made like these just garbage trades. They gave up a lot for Haynesworth and Ocho Cinco. It didn't work. They were both done. They were both jerks.
And for a while, we were saying, oh, the Patriots have hit this formula of finding this veteran who's never won it and might have had some reasons, you know, but he's never won it. And he's hungry, and you bring him on, and all of a sudden he overperforms.
Yeah, that's why I said take out the all-in thing.
Right.
Just...
Look, I
when you have
I
the best roster,
hard to believe.
Do you feel like the Patriots have the best roster right now?
The best roster that they
Because I know the answer to that because you answered it last week. You said no. Last week you said no.
I said that the Denver Broncos had a better roster.
Right. Yeah.
But
the other thing
but
here.
In 2004, the Patriots had a better roster than most teams, but that's not because other teams.
They had a better roster than all teams.
Didn't want to have a, you know, they all, look, I find it very hard to believe that the Patriots look at a single player and say, you know, if we got that guy, we could be over the top, but we're just not going to do that.
We can be sarcastic. I mean,
I'm not being sarcastic.
I could do that, too.
I think there's other reasons that we're not proving to.
I'm not suggesting that Bill.
Do it. Go.
I'm not suggesting that Bill looks at guys and says, he could really help me put me over the top, but I'm not going to take him.
No, but
I mean,
what
come
I'm
on,
saying.
Am I really arguing
right,
that?
And what I'm saying is, I think
it's
there's
Bill
other,
doesn't think the same way that everybody
right,
else. That's what I'm
I
saying.
I think there's other reasons that we're not privy to that in an individual player, they say, you know, he's not right for us. Or that we got this value. And we're not going to go above that value. Emmanuel Sanders is a guy, perfect example. If they had gone in, you know, just offered him a little bit more, he'd be on the Patriots right now instead of Pittsburgh being able to offer that. But for whatever reason, they thought, we just don't want to give him any more than that. You know, and
I would say Seattle. I mean, Seattle let Golden Tate go. They let Brandon Browner go. They let what's-his-name go. They traded what's-his-name because there were off-field issues, but... They have lost talent. I think Seattle fans could say, well, maybe if we had Golden Tate, we're better than we are right
and
now.
And we had the caller that brought all that out to me earlier this week. I think it was during this show, not in the pre or post game. I think it was earlier this week. And he rattled all that off. I think Golden Tate's the only example. I mean, I think that, you know,
all Jack, it takes is one example.
Jack defensive. Well, you can't re-sign everybody. The Broncos let Eric Decker go. You can't re-sign. I'm not suggesting that you can just give every single player everything that they want. I'm not taking it to that extreme. I'm not Dallas. I'm not Washington. I'm not taking it to that extreme.
And even those teams don't do that anymore.
I'm not taking it to that extreme.
The elephant in the room is you're paying $7.5 million for a guy that you thought would be at least your number two receiver on offense because he's in prison. Like,
well,
that's a
that, yes.
But it's a fact.
It is.
It's $7.5 million that
Dead
you
money.
Allotted for
Absolutely.
A key player
right.
that is gone.
Right.
Right?
It's true.
I mean, and that's a unique circumstance that nowhere else. Now, I kind of agree with Paul in one sense, but not in the going to get people. I think if you're going to argue this year, your argument that they're not all in is Logan Mankins and Tommy Kelly. You had guys on your roster who were under the cap, who could be under the cap right now, who would probably make you better in both trenches. Didn't have to go sign them, didn't have to do anything other than move forward with their employment
and
with
we,
your team.
And we believe that. And I think they're two separate situations.
They are.
What if, and they could be wrong, but what if they honestly felt you know, keeping Mankins really isn't going to make us that much better this year.
Yeah, I don't.
What if they really believe that?
Based on the way I saw their guards suck for 3 weeks, he could have given me 3 weeks better than that.
Maybe.
You think he sucks?
I don't.
The guards sucked in the first
3 weeks. I don't, but I don't have the information they do.
I don't think there's any chance.
You have eyeballs. You've watched games.
I don't think there's any chance that is true.
We've both said that football is a tough sport to judge from a layman's perspective.
But you think Logan Mankins and Jordan Devey were the same?
No, but they might think Dan Connolly and
doesn't matter. Jordan Devey started 3 games.
Okay, we went over that yesterday. We're not going to go over that again.
No, no, no. Yeah, okay. Why? Because
so did Marcus Cannon.
Argument. Right, and they both sucked.
But
and if Mankins plays, maybe you win
and
a game.
And if you want to take it to that, let's take it for the guy who's newly into the lineup. Do you think that Brian Stork and Logan Mankins are the same? Because that's the guy that... Brian Stork is the only guy who's starting now that wasn't starting last year.
Yeah, but...
I'm sorry. Logan Mankins is a better player. They think that, but they were arguing how long. How long is how much money and how long will Mankins still be better?
Right.
And that's why they made the trade. Not a dumb trade. Nope. I wouldn't have done it. It was not a dumb move. I didn't say it was dumb at the time, and I don't think it's dumb now. But what Andy just said is, I think, impossible to argue against. If you wanted to have the best possible team on the field right now, you wouldn't have made those two moves.
Yeah,
but they look at the short term and the long term.
And that's fair. We
and
all
that's
agreed
fair.
At the
it's
time.
It's worked. It's
right?
worked for them.
Right. That was a
but
money
it, but
trade.
But it may have cost them titles, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the part that you and a lot of other Patriots fans are unwilling to even broach as a possibility. I don't think they're as good right now as they could be. That's why I said eliminate the all-in term. I don't think they're as strong on the field as they could be, by design, on their choice.
See, I find
you can't possibly say that they thought that Chris Jones would be a better option than Tommy Kelly.
Yeah, but again, now that's a separate situation, and we talked about that. We don't know exactly. We know Tommy Kelly's side of it, where he was unhappy with what he thought was going to be his role on this team, and he voiced that opinion. But we don't know how he voiced it. We don't know if finally they said, Tommy, we can't guarantee you that. If you want to leave, we'll let you go. We don't know. We only heard his side of that story. I find it hard to believe that they think that Chris Jones is better than Tommy Kelly. I can't believe that.
They obviously...
So there has to be something else. They're not that stupid. You're saying they are.
See, this is what my point is. You just automatically think when they make them. This is exactly what I just said about a minute ago. There's a lot of things that we question at the time. After the fact, you always say they did the right thing, and we were wrong to question it.
I said at the time, and
right.
I'm saying
you
now.
You wonder why they released
Tommy
Kelly. I
don't understand why they. Right. I don't understand because I don't have the information.
And you don't need to have information to know that Tommy Kelly's a better player than the players that are here playing in his place.
In that place, yes.
So that's all I'm saying is whether or not right, wrong, indifferent. You're not as good talent-wise as you could be.
But you're not allowing for the chance that there might have been some mitigating circumstances that kind of put the Patriots in a corner. And it was either, we're going to let this guy go.
Every time?
It was either
I'm talking about Tommy Kelly.
No, but every time.
No, but there's always. Look,
I know they're going to win games whether those guys are here or not because Bill and Tom are just too good.
No team is perfect.
Can you add Gronk to that?
I think it's all about the coach and quarterback. But
I don't.
Just because I think the tight end is playing at an MVP level.
There's no, the American, the country of the United States of America doesn't have a perfect system. But I'll take this system over any other country.
Okay.
And I'll take the Patriots system over any other team.
So this
system.
Gets back to our
drop
original.
Drop the mic.
No, this gets back to our original
perfect,
debate.
But I'll take what we got.
Fred, again, not an argument, more of a discussion. It gets back to our original PFW in progress debate. Would you rather always be in the hunt, or would you rather win it all? Because I don't know why you're huffing and puffing. I'm not yelling at you. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with anything you just said.
I would rather always be in the hunt than just win it 1 year and then not never win it again,
Okay, so you'd rather have 10 years of near misses than one win, and who knows what happens in the other nine?
Oh, I would.
That's
what I voted
have.
For all along.
And that
you'd
is what you
have
voted
the nine
for.
Years?
I'd rather win
no,
a title.
No, I'd rather have the 10 years.
I'd rather win a title.
I'd rather win a title.
And by the way, I'm not saying that I'm not in the hunt the other 9 years. I'm saying I don't know what's going to happen the other
right,
9 years.
Right,
in your scenario, I know I'm not going to be good enough all 10 years.
I'll
take one title and let the chips fall where they may the other nine.
And you're creating a hypothetical, but these guys have to deal with not knowing every year. They don't know if we go in all.
Nobody knows,
they don't know we're going to win this year. Denver doesn't know. They're going to win this year, but
they don't know. Nobody knows. I agree.
So you have to deal with
not knowing, and you have to deal with trying to be as good as you can.
This would be a great Fred Felger argument.
We've had it before.
It would get personal very quickly.
You guys would be yelling and screaming at each other.
We've had this argument before, me and Felger, and he calls me a liar.
And everything, well, I
you know, because he gets personal.
But I haven't made it personal.
No, I didn't say you did.
And I don't think anything you said is incorrect.
You know, but
it's just a difference of agreement.
I've had this argument with Felger, and we've screamed and yelled, and then he says I'm lying.
Right.
You know, and then, I can't argue with that.
Felger always thinks that we're holding back.
Right.
Because of where we work. And I'm not. And you
don't. We proved that.
I honestly believe. Look, based on the track record, I'm bought in. I've bought in. I believe in this team. I believe in the system they put in place.
See, this is what he does, though. He's way twisted. Like, so now, if I say anything else, that means I don't believe in the system. Of course, I believe in the system.
They're not perfect. I have criticized individual things that they've done.
But you always later say you were wrong when they end up winning 12 games.
No,
you go.
He never said he was wrong on
12 and 4.
John Abraham. He never said he was wrong on John Abraham or Emmanuel Sanders. He stuck to his guns.
What I won't admit I'm wrong in is that they do things the wrong way. No, that's impossible.
But who says they do things
the
wrong way?
But that's what I'm arguing against. I'm not arguing that they should have given more.
But who's arguing against you?
I'm not arguing
that. Wait, me? You don't think they ever do anything the wrong way?
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the overall system.
Okay, okay.
You know?
Oh, I thought you were saying that people say that they do things the wrong way. Like, as a rule, they do it the wrong way.
The philosophy, you know?
That's how we get to 12 and 4 sniff.
Right. I mean, who would argue that? Right.
Let me just interject one thing that we never know. And I know it occurs, but they put a lot of weight on precedent and locker room lawyering dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
I know this for a fact.
Yeah.
Contract related and egos and values and players knowing what other players make or got or and I know they monitor that, care about that, and make transactions and decisions at times with that as a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And that I would say could play somehow into the Tommy Kelly situation.
It could.
That I don't know the exact, we don't know the details of it, but I could see that the way they look at, I just can't have this in my locker room. And then Chris Jones or somebody, Will Smith at the time, whoever was still here. I know they think about that. They consider that.
Well, the Sanders thing, that was what, 2 years ago?
Emmanuel?
Yeah. So was Welker still on the team at the time?
No, it was last year.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, it was last
well,
year.
Well, it was.
But I think you're right.
Before last
I think
year.
I was trying to give an example, but I think you're right. I think they do weigh, you know, if we give this guy this and we know we're going to be in the negotiation with this guy, or we know, you know, if this player is making X, you know, I think locker room dynamics is a big part of decision making. And I don't, well, I think it should be.
And I also think,
It's hard to do, though.
I think people overrate the value of Emmanuel Sanders at the time the Patriots made the offer because he's good now. You had $2.5 million in a third-round pick on the table.
I'm not in that camp. He's not one of the guys I would use as an example of not being
all in. Isn't that a lot? A third-round pick and $2.5 million? Doesn't that feel like a decent offer?
I think if you wanted him.
For Emmanuel Sanders?
I think if you wanted him, you would have given him more than that.
But I don't know that. I think they wanted him.
But
I don't know that they thought he was, like, the savior of the offense moving forward.
Right. And at the time, they said he's not worth more than that.
Like, I don't think they thought he was anywhere near as good as Wes Welker.
Oh, my God. You know what?
We have picks.
Yeah, plenty of time.
It's 10 of.
Go.
We have plenty of time.
Stop sulking about your failures as a host and just go.
I completely forgot.
It's a short schedule this week.
We can go a little long.
When you get all liquored up and fighting with Paul.
Oh, no, we can't go a little long. John Rook's coming in.
He's not here yet.
Nah, we can go a little long today.
Oh,
we don't have much
on.
No, but we don't have much planned for.
No,
for
today is National Writer Who Hates the Patriots.
We do have callers on the line. I apologize.
National Guy Who Hates the Patriots.
You know, we're not going to be able to take your call, but if you want to hang up and call back John's show.
We had a call from Everett, too.
Blame Paul and Fred for another one of their arguments.
You were involved.
Listen.
I don't know.
It was mostly their argument.
I actually find that to be an interesting debate.
There's no right or wrong answer. There really isn't.
Because it gets back to the
just
whole
the
thing.
The same way, there's no right philosophy for winning football games.
No,
right.
But it gets back to the
whole thing.
There's
so many different ways to do it.
Right.
And we don't know anything.
Do you think that there's consistently successful because of the structure and system of what they believe in or because of how good the coach and quarterback are?
Both.
Yeah,
both.
I don't think that. I think if you took Belichick or Brady out of the equation, you could have the same exact structure and eye toward the future and the present and the future, and you wouldn't win.
But I think Belichick.
But that's too much of a big picture. All these individual situations, we don't know anything about.
Like, we, you know, all the rumors.
Why are we talking?
All the rumors were John Abraham. It was totally about what they told him his role would be, right?
No, Kelly, you mean?
No, Abraham.
Oh, I thought
John
really?
Abraham didn't
like
the role.
I thought Abraham was just money.
Nope.
No.
That's,
oh, really?
And you know, going back a few years to the receiver that went to Baltimore, even though there was more money in New England.
Anquan Boldin?
Nope. The other guy, he's older. Going back more than a few years, maybe. Oh. But there are so Derek many dynamics. Yeah, because his wife liked Baltimore or something. There are a lot of factors at play other than just.
And we yelled at him on the sideline.
Right. But there's a lot of factors at play.
It is. And it's like every time somebody becomes available, we get all the emails. Oh, the Patriots should go get him.
Right.
Well, there's 31 other teams, too, that want these guys.
And they have a pretty good track record. They went and got the best corner in football. They went and got a corner that was among the top five in football a year before that. They've been pretty aggressive in getting some stuff over the years. Right?
Right.
Paul says no. Save it for next week, Paul.
I'm not suggesting that they don't make any good moves. I mean, I
want to do a pregame social Sunday.
See, this is like you take the other side of it and you make it like blanket the other way. Like, well, I know they don't get any good players. Yeah, no, I didn't say that.
No, but this offseason they went and got the best player you could get.
I think this offseason was an example of changing a little bit.
So they're all in.
And then they did what you said.
What'd I do?
They got rid of two good players for no reason.
Well, but that's the thing, Paul.
Think that phrase,
there had to be a reason.
They have a reason. We don't have a reason.
We don't know it.
Without being forced to. Is that fair enough?
We think, yeah.
They did not
have to. In our minds, from what we know, that's true. You know, but I don't know everything.
Wow.
You know, I do know that.
Were they over the cap?
I do know that they've been perennially successful.
Right.
And
a lot of other teams have too.
And, you know. And so
and some of them win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Can
we got to do picks.
That's such a snide cheat.
Exactly.
Shot. It's unbelievable.
That was an intentionally sarcastic throwaway line to prove what you guys were just trying to do to me.
But
I don't know. They
anything.
Get good players.
It just proves that you're
it was
sarcastic.
A sarcastic
that's
comment
all, that's
that wasn't
all it proves.
It wasn't meant to be taken seriously. That's, just like I wasn't saying they don't have any good players, which is what you just
I never
suggested.
Said that. Yeah, I never said
that's
that.
What you that's what
I
you're
never
intimating.
Said that.
I'll take the way that they set things up.
I know you like Brady.
I'll take
except
it
in the except in the playoffs.
In the first
month of the regular season.
Let's get to the picks, Paul. What happened last week?
Andy and Fred 10-3. Paul 9-4, Eric 8-5.
Ooh. Is this my first dictator wave of the year?
The first part
ever,
of that,
I think.
First part of that can't be true. You also won with the spread, ATS, as they say.
Double
nine
dictator
and,
wave.
9-4.
9-4, Andy.
Eric was 8-5. Paul and Fred 7-6.
I think I'm over 500.
You are over 500.
Woo!
For the season, Eric maintains his lead at 92-41-1, followed by Andy and I, 87-46-1, and Fred. 85-48-1.
You are taking up the rear.
ATS, Eric, 75-59. Paul, 72-62. Fred, 71-63. And Andy, 69-65.
Ooh, I'm on your heels.
69.
quick note, just a total random
that
note before
sound
you
good.
Pass. Did you know today is Aaron Hernandez's birthday and Pat Tillman's birthday?
I knew it was Aaron Hernandez's because Field Yates tweeted it out.
Don't you think that's a strange...
I was like, what, are you going to send him a cake with a file in it?
I just think that's a two players whose
NFL
careers
players.
Were cut short for like opposite ends of the spectrum reasons. Mm. That I find it funny they're born on the same
day. Right. One couldn't be a more perfect human being than the
well,
other.
Well, theoretically. I mean, I don't know if he's...
Yeah, I know.
You heard it here first. Andy Hart ripping Pat Tillman.
No.
On his birthday,
I just
no
always like to be careful. Like he's the perfect human being.
No, I know.
Because he went in the military.
Know.
For all I know, he broke kittens' necks.
I know. Okay.
You heard that here first. Yeah, right.
And for all you know, Aaron Hernandez is innocent. So, right. I mean, you know.
No, that's Paul who wants him back.
No, there's no chance of that.
All right.
I mean, there's no chance of him being innocent, but he could be back. I'm not discounting that.
What?
I made the comment that if he would get off on a technicality, somehow be acquitted.
Yeah.
Patriots fans would embrace him.
We did have one fan who tweeted,
someone got
yes,
really mad
straight up,
it.
I would take him.
Yep.
Really?
Oh, I got more than one of those.
Oh, yeah. God.
You're right, PFW, Paul.
Wow.
There's a lot of guys out there that would take him if he was innocent.
Oh, God. All right, tonight, Cleveland is at Cincinnati.
Bengals by 6.
I'll take the Bengals to win and cover.
I will as well.
Got to go quick.
Yeah, I will too, although I don't love the pick.
Cincinnati's not playing that great, but I think Cleveland's come to the end of the line.
Well,
I think they're little.
Good. They're just not that good.
Their little run is over.
And did you see the Mike Pettin, Greg Little comments that Mike Pettin doesn't talk to players? Now, I don't know if Is it Greg Little? That's who it is, right? Mm-hmm. He said, "You, how am I going to put it on the line for a coach you pass in the hallway and he doesn't even acknowledge your presence?
Oh, come to New England."
No. Okay, that was
I mean, you know.
But at least Bill Belichick.
That was not Paul.
Right.
If you're looking for warm and fuzzy.
Who the bleep is Mike Pettine?
Kevin Jackson.
At least Bill
Dallas.
Belichick is big. Bill Belichick. Right. He has rings to validate his whole existence. Mike Pettine's like 5 years removed from a high school football field.
Right. Tennessee at Baltimore.
Baltimore by 9.5.
Baltimore.
Big number.
Yeah. I was going to take Tennessee because I told Paul to make this his knockout pick. I will take Baltimore to win, but not cover.
Yeah, I will take, the Ravens to win as well. That is a big number. But I think they'll do it at home.
Yes, I will do the same as Eric, and I'll have a little extra incentive on this one, Baltimore, and I'll lay the points.
Me too. Baltimore wins, but they don't cover. Kansas City at Buffalo.
Then it's not me too.
I don't know your parlance. I just, you know.
Baltimore, what did you say, Buffalo, Kansas City?
Yeah, Buffalo. No, Kansas City at Buffalo.
Oh, I had that the opposite way.
So Paul doesn't know.
I'm going to say Kansas City by 2.
Eric, I use the word parlance.
I know. I like that. Good for you.
Thank you.
What was that? Ribaldry?
Ribaldry.
Ribaldry.
He balanced it out with parlance, though.
Kansas City by 2 in Buffalo, I'll take. I'll take Kansas City to win and
cover. Yes, they will do that.
I will check that to make sure that the spread is right.
I'm taking Kansas City.
Kansas City will win both ways.
I'll
no
take Kansas City
is.
Whether you're giving me points, you're taking my points.
I will take Buffalo.
I know. You think the Bills are the second carnation
of... The game is at Buffalo?
I will take Otto Graham.
I will take the Bills.
Instant breakfast.
Buffalo.
Me too.
Me too.
Miami at Detroit.
Miami, another team Fred
Detroit
loves.
Detroit by 3.
I will take Detroit at home to win. I'm not buying Miami.
I know. This is the time of year that they always do this to me, though.
Detroit, you mean?
Yeah. I'll take them. What's the number, Paul?
3.
Yeah, they'll win and cover.
Yeah.
I don't know if
tough
I...
one.
Yeah.
Who are the Dolphins?
Dolphins
the
are traditionally a team that cannot stand prosperity, and I believe Detroit will be...
Our time. Fin's up.
I'm definitely rooting for Detroit, as I should.
That's right. Moved it
the
back
question is, did Miami lay it all out in the field last week, and do they have anything left? I don't know.
A lot of Super Bowls in the NFL this year. You know, we say those teams, put it all into that. It's like
year. Well, no, Philbin's father died, and they kind of dedicated the game to him and all that stuff. I'm going to go with Detroit.
When there's no talent, apparently emotion matters.
Across the pond in London, Dallas at Jacksonville.
Dallas by 6.5.
I'll take Dallas to win.
1 o'clock game, by the way. They're not doing that 9:30 thing.
I thought it was noon.
I believe it's 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, according to NFL.com.
Did say noon Eastern on something up there.
It said noon Eastern on television.
Really? I believe it's at 1 o'clock, but I'm not positive.
It says one on the .com.
And .com's always right-ish.
Dallas at Jacksonville.
I will take Dallas to win and to cover.
Yeah, I'm going to believe the reports that Romo's going to play, and I will lay the points, too.
Oh, he's going to play?
That's what everybody's saying.
I feel even better about my Cowboys pick.
He practiced today?
Because otherwise I was basically picking DeMarco Murray.
Dallas.
Okay, me too.
Just put him down for me too the rest of the way.
San Francisco at New Orleans.
I don't know what that means.
San Francisco at New Orleans.
New Orleans by 4.5.
Ooh, the underachiever bowl.
Yeah.
I will take New Orleans to win this game.
Because it's the home team?
Not going to feel good about it, but they're the home team.
Yeah, and I think they're playing a little bit better than the Niners, so I feel a little bit better about making that pick this week, but it's a scary one.
Plus Brandon Lloyd's on
it's
the other
tough
team.
One.
I'll take
the Saints. You know, we should have known.
Brandon Lloyd? Yeah.
I'll take the Saints.
Me too.
Make
Saints.
A deal with the devil, and you dine in the basement.
Pittsburgh at New Jersey, Sunday at 1.
Pittsburgh by 5.
I'll take Pittsburgh. Win and cover. Rolling!
Yeah.
Bell,
I hate
Blunt.
I hate to do it, but because of the worthless hot dog, but, I mean, they're the better team.
Is he still going to be a worthless hot dog when he's in
he's
Canton
always a worthless
on that
hot
gold
dog.
Jacket?
He'll always be the worthless hot dog.
I'll take Pittsburgh, too.
Yeah, Pittsburgh.
Me too.
Definitely.
Oh, just say me too. I like it.
Atlanta at Tampa Bay.
Atlanta by one.
Well, Mike Glennon announced on his own radio show that he'll take Atlanta.
I will go with the Falcons.
You took Atlanta? Is that what you said?
I'll go with the Falcons.
Yeah, it's Falcons by one. I will also take the Falcons.
think that's different from your paper pick.
That's a tough one.
Only does he know his paper picks, now he knows the other people's paper picks.
I'm going to
because I got this guy nipping at my heels. I got to see what I'm up against this
week. I'm going to take Tampa Bay, and Mike Smith is fired.
If you would put a gun to my head and ask me who was winning the contest, I would not be able to do it.
Perhaps. They might walk him right out of Tampa.
You think anything else on any other piece of that paper now?
They might leave him in Florida.
You guys are missing this. Fred saying Mike Smith will be fired this week.
Oh.
I think that's a very legitimate possibility. I thought it was going to happen last week based on Arthur Blank's comments.
Yeah.
21-0 lead and unacceptable.
If
unacceptable.
If Tampa Bay trounces them, I don't know if they will, but they're going to beat them, and Mike Smith stays in Florida. The plane leaves without
Chris
Mike
Berman.
Smith. Him and his pith helmet.
Why does he want to stay in Florida, though?
What? Because they're not going to take him home.
They're not going to take him home.
Oh, that would be really. That would just be poor.
Maybe he's got a home in Tampa.
That would be poor to me, though.
They would say
they wouldn't even take him home.
Just go.
Yeah.
Just go. Now you just can't leave.
I think Pioli's pulling the strings in the background there.
Yeah.
He'll be running Dimitroff out of town.
Sunday, 4:05, Denver at Oakland. I think we're all taking Denver, right?
11.5.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Win
yeah.
and cover. Easy. Yeah.
So Paul, you're not going to take those numbers? No?
Nah, I'll lay the points.
Wow. Ooh. You just wasted a minute. We could have gone.
See, Paul's thing is Denver's not that good.
No. That's a lot of points on the road.
It's
no
Oakland.
Black hole.
I know. When was the last time they lost by more than that?
I don't know.
They just went to Seattle and lost by six.
And you can't say AFC West.
Oh, that's why. You're jilted. Didn't they screw you last week or something?
No. Seattle won the game. That's all I cared about.
Oh. All right, we're all taking Denver. St. Louis at Arizona, 425.
Arizona by 7.
Rams not doing too bad.
You don't think there's
lately.
Any chance that Oakland could cover an 11.5-point spread?
No, yeah, there's a chance.
Well, that's all. I was just giving it some thought. Arizona by 7.
Arizona to win. And cover.
I know, because the Rams are plucky.
The defense starting to come around.
They are plucky.
Eight sacks last week. Quinning
the cards to win, Paul.
Not him only,
but I will roll the dice and take the points and say that Austin Miles Davis, whatever his name is going to keep
Walker,
things close.
Jones, yeah. True. I will take Arizona.
Jones, Drew. Me too. Arizona.
Remember
both
Monique
ways.
Walker? And she married someone named Jones.
Right.
We used to call her Walker Jones Drew.
Sims. Yeah, Monique Sims Walker Jones Drew Brees is what her full name
now
is.
You now you call her rising star.
I got Arizona both ways.
USA Today, right?
Yes, correct.
The Giants at Seattle. Giants at Seattle. I don't think the Giants are going to be making that second half run this year.
No. Not with that offensive coordinator. Seattle by 9.
He's had a bee in his bonnet for that guy since the day he arrived.
You know what's very funny? The very first football game that any of us saw, the Hall of Fame game, I saw this whole thing about this guy who never called plays before in his life, who wanted to turn Eli Manning into a 70% passer. And I said, I know nothing about football. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Before I had ever even seen one play, I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're taking anything that Eli Manning can do, and you're taking it away from him because you want him to be this little dink-and-dunk rhythm passer so he can complete 70% of his passes. And what's happened over the first half of the season is exactly what I thought would happen. They can't move the ball. That's not what he does. What are we going to do next? Have Tom Brady run the read option?
Closes his eyes and throws prayers up.
He's running well these
receivers
days.
Receivers catch him.
All right.
Did you give me the number?
Giants 9. At Seattle.
Yeah,
Seattle by 9.
I'm not going to be reactionary to the whole first half of the season. I am going to take Seattle to win and cover at home.
That's a good... Yeah, I will do the same thing.
Sooner or later, the bully's going to bully.
And the Giants are bullyable.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Seattle.
Oh, yeah, sure. Me too.
Yeah, me too. Everybody's taking Seattle. Chicago. Now, there's
Seattle.
No Patriots game to skip over, so we're not skipping over the Patriots.
Thanks for wasting time.
Chicago.
I'm glad we're in a rush.
Chicago at Green Bay, Sunday, 8:30.
Green Bay by 7.
Brandon Marshall.
Surprised it's that low?
Brandon Marshall spent the entire off
some
week
think of touchdowns a lot.
talking about he spent it trying to like clean his anxiety out of his system and doing all these things. I think that is a sinking ship for Tressman, Cutler, Marshall.
That's
a cocktail of calamity. I will take Green Bay to win and cover.
I agree. I think the Packers at home are going to be too much for a struggling Bears team.
I'll take Green Bay as well.
Rodgers says he's fine. Use those words. I'm fine.
To this show?
Yeah. I'm going to take Green Bay.
He doesn't.
All right, finally, Monday, 8:30, Carolina at Philadelphia.
Eagles by 6.
The Mark Sanchez savior has come to town under the quarterback whisperer I'll take him at home.
It's who's Eagles playing?
Carolina.
Carolina.
Listen, Eric.
I learned it by not listening to you. I will take the Eagles to win.
Never saw that wind horse guy not standing next to LeBron.
The number again, I'm sorry.
I clean that up. Six. Eagles by six.
Yeah, both ways.
Mark Sanchez.
I like Philadelphia here. Yes.
Me the too. Sanchez has moved teams, baby.
Yep, my prophecy is coming true. Mark Sanchez has a good game, and the Eagles win, showing that it's Chip Kelly's system. That
how many times are you going to say that?
Until I get credit for it.
All right.
You have
You have credit. Now stop saying it.
Thank you.
I gave you the credit for it.
John Rooks here.
I honestly haven't heard anybody else say it, so I'm going to give you credit.
Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
What's going on?
Same old prediction Thursday with no games to predict.
Yeah.
What I'm going to ask our listeners to do today is look into the crystal balls and let's predict the second half of the season.
Okay.
Record-wise. So that'll be one of the things that we get to today.
Fred's not fun with that. I tried to get him to do that to start the show.
He wouldn't want
to
do that?
He predicted one loss because he predicted the team to go 13-3 to start the year, so he's just sticking with it, instead of actually looking at the landscape of the team in the games ahead.
I kind of have to agree with Fred. That's where I'm going to go, I think.
Yeah. You just want to be right with your
thanks, John.
So I picked him to go 12-4, so I have to pick two.
Great minds think alike.
Thank you very much.
I don't have to pick two now.
You don't have to
do
anything.
A great man once told me conditions on the ground
have changed. As a matter of fact, you don't have to come into work tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Good. I wasn't planning on it, just so you know.
We actually need to talk about that. I thought that would be an off-air conversation.
All right.
You heard it. 100,000 people just heard him told me, don't come into work tomorrow on Friday of the bye week.
Or next week. All right. All right.
Wait, this doesn't give Eric and I more responsibility.
All right.
Kevin, what are you doing?
Yes, John, it does.
John's up next, and then every fantasy that you ever had will come true at 4 o'clock.
Oh, please.
See you next Tuesday.
That were the case.
Downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.